We'll get started Wednesday, the 22nd of January, second day of budget markup. We're taking votes, so we have to take roll. So, Don, please call the roll.
Senator Dockstetter. Senator Hastert. Senator Hastert.
Excuse.
Senator Meyer.
Here.
Senator Perkins.
Here.
Representative Burkhart.
Here.
Representative Escobel.
Here.
Representative Moniz.
Here.
Representative Nicholas.
Excuse.
Representative Stubson.
Here.
Representative Wallace.
Here.
Co-Chairman Bebout.
Here.
Chairman Harshman.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, you have a quorum.
Okay, thank you. Hey, Mr. Co-Chair, the game plan today is, as I recall it, is we're going to do the second half of the agencies, and we're going to, whatever time we finish, we'll finish, and we're going to leave the remaining governor's letters, which will take a little more work by the committee and perhaps a little more discussion and debate, and the Section 300s for tomorrow, Thursday. And perhaps if we really move quickly tomorrow, we'll get into round robins. That's kind of the game plan as we go forward. And at the very, very latest, round robins on Friday morning with the idea that we're done by 10 a.m.
Mr. Co-Chair, I think that's a great plan. And if it works out, it'd be nice to have a lot of the round robins started tomorrow afternoon. And then people can kind of think overnight about it, too. And so the thing I want to do is be sure every member of this committee has a chance that whatever they want to do, that they don't feel like they didn't get their opportunity.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay. Don, I think...
Mr. Co-Chair?
We saved a little bit of money yesterday. Can you give us a daily update yesterday, our progress? And
Mr. Chairman, you started... The way I look at things, you started with $238.6 million on the table. That's what the governor left you prior to his letters. So that's before his letters. You had two big reductions, $5 million in Wyoming Natural Resource Trust Fund and savings from the court security project of $4 million. You had a number of smaller increases and reductions and net-net. I calculate you have $247 million, which would be a $8.4 million to the good.
Okay. Thank you. Co-Chair?
So, Mr. Co-Chair, is that an indication of the good amendments that all of us brought or the way the Senate ran the meeting yesterday? I'm not sure.
You know, let's kind of go down memory lane. I think those were all House proposals for those two big cuts.
Well,
to very worthwhile programs, I might add, court security and the Wildlife Natural Resource Trust. Now, that was a good group effort yesterday and tough work. Appreciate all the staff's work for executive branch and legislative branch and short turnaround to get back here again today. So, okay, with that said, we are on Agency 49. And members, when I call out the agency, I'll say Gov's Rec, and I'll pause. And that's your time to jump in with amendments. And if I don't hear anything, I'll call for the vote, the ayes on it. So, okay. So here we go. Agency 49, page 13. Let me open this up. Excuse me. Okay. Page 15, unit 5901. Motion is Gov's Rec. Okay, got a timeout. Make sure everybody's got their technology caught up. More. Everybody fired up? Everybody's got their machines fired up?
I'm getting close, Mr. Chairman. My machine.
I see a couple still. You need to. Do we need to get? Okay. You're good. Okay, page 15, unit 5901, director. Motion on the floor is Gov's Rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 19, protective services, unit 5902. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 24, community crisis beds, unit 5903. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 29, unit 5904, juvenile justice. Motion on the floor is Gov's Rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 36, boys school, Worland, unit 5905. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 41, girls school, Sheridan, unit 5906. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 45, Child Abuse and Neglect Trust, unit 5908. Motion on the floor is Gov's Rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 48, Substance Abuse Prevention and Treatment, unit 5909. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 53, unit 6015, welfare reform. Motion on the floor is Gov's Rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 59, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, Unit 6016. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 65, Child Support Enforcement, Unit 6017. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 70, Medicaid Eligibility Determination, Unit 6018. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 76, Supplemental Security Income, Unit 6019. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 80, Early Childhood Development, Unit 6020. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 85, Energy Assistance and Weatherization, Unit 6021. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. I think that clears it. The next is CAPCON, correct? Okay, vote on...
Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Representative Escobel.
Yeah, I'd like to move the amendment you just had, the Father Factor Amendment. This comes out of the TANF block grant for that standalone program that we had the luncheon at in December. Probably the only other thing that I would talk about here is if I get a second.
I'll second it. Okay.
When we talk about fractured families and having both parents involved in their children's lives, I think in our kingdom it works the same way as it does in the animal kingdom. You're not going to have any predators coming around to the nest or den if both parents are active in their children's lives. These kids are going to stay in school. They're going to be less likely to become teenage pregnancy statistics, less likely to be on any dependence of any type of foreign substances, less likely to end up in our court systems and our prison systems. And when you look at the numbers, we fund this program for a biennium for what it costs us to put about seven or eight kids through the Cowboy Challenge program. so they're less likely to end up in programs like that or the girls or boys schools. Finally, on the National Conference of State Legislators about what policymakers can do, this program hit on 22 out of the 25 points, and you know that I was actually contacted by legislators from about five other states on this program and how they could emulate it in their states. And then the State Legislatures magazine also has contacted the director, and they're doing a piece about the success of the program in their magazine. So I hope that this committee would be favorable in supporting this amendment.
Okay. Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question for the sponsor. It seems like an odd amount of money. Was there a particular reason?
Mr. Chairman, the department agency got together with this group about 6 years ago, and they put that budget together. And then in the 2011-12 biennium, we tried to expand that to two other communities, and then that's when the funding got cut in half. So that's why this amendment doesn't match up to the one from last year. But this is exactly the same amendment we had in the 2011-12 biennium. And it was just based on what their budget was and what their programs consist of, the counseling pieces and the group therapy pieces and the pro se legal pieces.
Okay. Any other questions, discussion? Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ken, could you just give us a history of the funding over the last 6 years, or since it started? I mean,
When it first started, it was about, that was before I was even elected. Representative Zwanzer carried that amendment in the House. I think it was $48,000 in the 2006-07 biennium. And then when they started to add the counseling pieces and the pro se legal pieces and started traveling to other communities, particularly the Casper and Gillette areas, they increased the budget up to this $274,000. It added in an administrative assistant as well. The guy was coming to work. They were people actually sleeping on the porch over there waiting for them to show up and open the doors. So it ended up becoming such a popular program in this community that they were really overwhelmed. That's why they've partnered up with a lot of the groups that you saw in the handout that they have now, not just Safe Harbor, but a lot of other groups that do substance abuse counseling, as well as family and marriage counseling. Some of the successes have actually brought families back together that were fractured. And it's, I guess it comes down to the bottom line. Do we want parents taking care of their kids, or do we as a state want to take care of their kids?
Okay. Any other questions? Senator Perkins.
Mr. Chairman, and I think it's a great program. However, Mr. Chairman, there's over $61 million in grants and payments. And while they do a great work, there's lots of other organizations around the state that do great work as well. And I did, after the luncheon, I did confirm with the department that they would be eligible for grants and aid and funding if they go through the process, just like, you know, we all have in our communities. We have self-help centers, we have father factors, we have Boys and Girls Clubs, we have YMCAs, we have all those organizations, and I just always struggle with singling out specific agencies and allocating specific nonprofits, regardless of their worthiness and how important and vital they are to our society and helping educate and protect and develop our youth. Reluctantly, I've been really consistent about this and have, so I'm just opposed to that on those grounds, not because I don't think the program's good. I think it's an excellent program. and worthy of support and assistance, but I think that they ought to be in line and go through the process just like the other organizations.
Okay, thank you. Any other discussion?
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, go ahead. Let's wrap. Then you can close it out, Representative.
And I think if you look at the department's 6 and 900 series, just I'll take Climb Wyoming, for example. They get $1.6 million from this same grant. And when I asked the director about how long it takes him to do an RFP, it says he said it's about 30 hours of man hours putting it together, about 6 months for that whole process to go forward. And if they were to put out an RFP for what this group does, they're the only group that performs this service. So we go through all that and take all that time and effort and money to end up in the same spot we could be in with a simple up and down vote. And we've been doing it like that, like I said, since before I was even ever elected. And it just seems easier to make those decisions sometimes here in this committee than it does to maybe go through the bureaucratic process.
Okay, thank you. And that's certainly what we do is appropriate here. So, okay, any other questions of Representative Esquivel? Okay, all those in favor of the amendment say aye. Opposed?
No.
Has been adopted. Okay, any other amendments on Agency 49? Don.
Mr. Chairman, there are two amendments from prior budgets. Amendment number 2 from the 13-14 biennium is actually something that's required by statute in Wyoming Statute 42-2103D. It requires the SSI monthly income to be established in each budget. These numbers, the standard budget was based upon these numbers, so there's really no change other than the dates if the committee desires to proceed with that. Footnote number 3 is really optional, but I didn't want to include or exclude it. Last year, the budget bill limited the number of residential treatment facilities and group homes to those that were certified as of a specific date.
Okay, committee. Okay, we'll take footnote number 2, committee. Okay, it's been moved. Seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Okay, footnote number 3, assuming a date change. Okay, it's been moved. I'll second it. Any discussion, Senator Meyer?
I haven't heard any concerns about the limitation expressed over the last year, and we don't want to overbuild, so I suggest it's probably still relative.
I agree. Any other discussion? Okay, all those in favor of footnote number 2, if the date changes, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Anything else, Don? Okay, that, I think, takes care of Agency 49. All those in favor of Agency 49, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, that agency is now closed. Okay, next is Agency 51, Livestock Board. We're on page 17. Unit 0101, administration. Motion on the floor is Govs Rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 20, vet loan repayment. Unit 0102, motion is Govs Rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 22, Information Technology, Unit 0103. Motion is Govs Rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 23, Unit 0200, Animal Health Summary. Motion is Govs Rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Excuse me, I think that was 0201. Let me back up, committee. That was a knucklehead chairman move there. Now, members, that, we got to redo that. Page 26, it's Animal Health, Unit 0201. It's not the summary page, for crying out loud. Okay, I punched the wrong button there. So, the motion is Govs Rec. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 30, Unit 0205, Law Enforcement. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Sure, I got the right. Okay, we're on the three. Page 34, Lab Tech Brucellosis, Unit 0301. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 37, Unit 0302, Brucellosis Travel. Gov's Rec. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 40, Unit 0303, Brucellosis Testing. Gov's Rec. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 43, Strays, Unit 0601. Motion is Gov's Rec.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Don.
Mr. Chairman, on page 42 of this unit, their narrative suggests that they have been operating under an old footnote from FY 1112. That same footnote is not in the budget in 13 and 14, but I wanted to bring it to the committee's attention. They are operating such that the agency only utilizes funds for management of a strays per the old footnote. Funding cannot be transferred or used for any other purposes. Technically, they're not required to follow that footnote as it has expired. And I just bring it to the committee's attention if they wanted to continue it in this.
Okay. Representative Wallace.
Mr. Chairman, exactly what is that? Say it there.
Go ahead,
say
Don.
That again, Don, please.
Mr. Chairman, it's pretty simple. The $50,000 that you're about to vote on, under an old footnote, they're managing it such that they can't transfer it to another program, say brucellosis, for example, that they have to spend it on estrays or it will revert. That footnote that requires no transfers is no longer effective. So if you wanted to ensure that this $50,000 only be spent on estrays and not on administration or brand inspection or some other activity, that footnote would need to be continued.
Mr. Chairman,
yep.
Representative Moniz, there's something tickling the back of my brain about that fund from my days on the Ag Committee. Yeah, I think so, too.
Does somebody want to make a motion on that footnote? Representative Moniz.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we establish that footnote again for this bank.
Okay. Is there a second? Second by Representative Wallace. Okay. Everybody understands that. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. So we've added that footnote with updated dates. Okay. Very good. Anything else? Okay. So... Did we vote on? We haven't voted on Unit 0601. Motion is Gov's Rec as amended. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 52, Brand Inspection, 0701. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. I believe that's it. Is that? Do I got to go back? Yeah, that's it, isn't it?
801.
I don't have that. Let me look. Is that page 56? Got it. Okay, page 56. It was underneath my iPad screen. I couldn't. I had to scroll it down. Okay, page 56. Predator control fees. Unit 0801. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Any further amendments? Okay, we're voting on agency 51. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That agency now has been closed. We're on agency 53, Workforce Services. Okay, the first unit is on page 20, Office of the Director, Unit 0101. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 28, Unit 0125, Program Assistance. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 33, Quality Child Care, Unit 0135. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 36, Serve Wyoming, Unit 0140. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 42, Employment and Training, Unit 0150. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Been adopted. Page 50, State Inspection of Mines, Unit 0190. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 54, Mining Exams, Unit 0191. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Next is page 60, Vocational Rehabilitation, Unit 0201. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Next is page 70, Unemployment Insurance Tax, Unit 0301. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Been adopted. Page 75, Unemployment Insurance Benefits, Unit 0320. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 79, Unemployment Insurance Revenue, Unit 0340. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Been adopted. Page 81, YCAN, Unit 0350. Zeroed out. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 84, Research and Planning, Unit 0370. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 89, Labor Standards, Unit 0401. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 99, Worker Safety and Compensation, Unit 0501. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Okay, any other amendments? Senator Meyer.
I don't have it now. It'll probably come up in round robin, but I wanted to try to find some workforce service dollars for vocational training or in a high school situation. And there's some programs out there, I think, that I might be able to shoehorn it into, but I want to give the committee kind of a heads up. The school district that wants to try to do a pilot program. I'm not sure if I expand the CRT funds in education or work in this area here in workforce development, but I take anybody's expert input on that particular methodology or where we should go. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Hey, thank you, Senator Meyer. Any amendments then on Agency 53? Okay. Vote on Agency 53. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Agency 53 is closed. We are now on Agency 55. Oil and Gas Commission. We are on page 10. Administration. Excuse me. That's got a subtitle. Page 19, Administration, and it's Unit 0101. Motion on the floor is Gov's Rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 24, UIC program, unit 0106. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 29, oil and gas bond forfeitures, unit 0202. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Any other amendments?
Mr. Co-Chair.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to offer an amendment that for all orphaned CBM wells on state and private lands, that the commission allow, at the surface owner's option, for the well to simply be sealed as opposed to being plugged. And what that would do, Mr. Chairman, is allow anyone in the future the ability to go to the state engineer's office and get the appropriate water right and be able to unseal it and use it as a water well. What's currently being done is they're required to cement them closed, which costs the company thousands of dollars, and then if you want to use that for a stock well or any other purpose, you have to go in and pay something like $6,000 to drill through the cement, in which case you're not even guaranteed to get water because guess where the water is? It's in the coal. So, Mr. Chairman, that would be my amendment.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. It's been seconded. Discussion?
Yeah, Mr. Co-Chair.
Mr. Co-Chair.
I would like to propose an amendment to that if, excuse me, if in fact the landowner or the state surface owner decides they want it back or don't want it plugged, then they assume the responsibility of that well.
Okay, so
that would be my motion, Mr. Co-Chair.
The amendment to the amendment. Any discussion on that? Could you repeat that, Mr. Co-Chair?
Yes, I will. That if, in fact, the surface owner and or the state who owns the lease decides to exercise this option and have the well not plugged but only sealed, they assume the future responsibility of that plug and abandonment of that well.
Mr. Chairman?
And that's been a second.
It's been a second. Yeah, we're in discussion?
We're in discussion.
I guess when we do that, generally, obviously it doesn't work all the time because we have so many orphan wells, but if you've got operating wells, generally there's some kind of surety bond or something that's posted with the Oil and Gas Commission for an operator to have to come back and be able to plug those. And so I guess the question would be if that liability is assumed by the landowner or whoever is assuming that liability, what kind of financial or fiscal assurance do we have that if ultimately there's an issue that there's the wherewithal to take care of that?
Okay, Mr. Co-Chair.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. It would be the responsibility of the Oil and Gas Commission if, in fact, they were to provide and release that well to the landowner, but under their rules, they still have the responsibility to ensure that at some future date, if it becomes a liability, that those people take on that obligation. So it would treat them as if they were the operator of an ongoing well. That's the way the rules would be set up. And what that does, you know, I don't think, and that's something they may have to develop in rules. What I don't want to see happen is if a landowner has to do a statewide $75,000 bond for a 600-foot well. So I would hope the Oil and Gas Commission could put in their rules that are reasonable. But that's the way I would see it. That's the way the rules would work.
Okay. Any other discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Wallace.
Mr. Chairman, you know, this is one of those situations that really brings into bright light how ridiculous our regulations have got, because we're talking about a water well. I mean, it's exactly the same depth, exactly the same situation, really, as the well that I drink out of at my house is what these CBM wells are. So on the oil and gas side, these guys are just hammered with all of these bonds and certifications and things. If I drilled that for my house, I wouldn't have any of that. So basically what we're trying to do here is say, it's a well. It's just exactly like the well I'm using over here. And as soon as we turn it into a stock well, it magically changes into something that, I mean, I'm having a hard time figuring out what the liability would be.
Okay, let's go Senator Meyer.
And, you know, the simple thing that most likely would happen is that they'd go down and spend $25 or $50 for a well permit, snapshot a GPS on it, and then it would be done. So, you know, I think that's where we're at in reality. So let's vote this thing up and get on about our day.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. And that all sounds really good, Mr. Chairman. But, you know, I've been up there, and, you know, some of those CBM wells and some of the water that came out was wonderful. I mean, you could drink it. It was awesome. It was great. Other parts, but depends where you go in that basin. Sometimes it came out that there were heavy salts and other things in it that actually, you know, I mean, if you remember back, this was a few years ago, we were looking at pastures and other things that were ruined from drain off of some of the CBM wells. So, I mean, not all the water was great water.
Okay. Well,
Mr. Co-Chair.
Well, Mr. Chairman, but that's up to the landowner. And, you know, those SAR, they call them, the sodium absorption rate. And if the well, and those wells have been tested, and if they, I wouldn't think a rancher would want to have a well like that, so they would not assume that responsibility. I mean, there's some common sense out there, too, for the landowner.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Perkins.
You know, and I appreciate that, but, you know, I would think the same thing about some of the stuff I see on people's property all the time and how bad it gets. I would think common sense would say that you wouldn't take and have a 100-yard pile of old tires in your yard, too, but sometimes that causes a problem.
Mr. Chairman, are we approaching granular?
I think we're beyond granular. Okay, we're Representative Wallace.
One last shot, and that is that the water that may not be of the highest quality that you don't want on your pastures, cows will still drink it.
Okay, very good. Sensing a call for the vote, and we are on the amendment to the amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Now we're on the amendment. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Any other amendments? Don.
Mr. Chairman, note in the governor's recommendation, he does not ask for a footnote on this unit, but he recommends that no funds be expended until such time as a formal plan has been submitted and authorized. If you wanted that to be a formal footnote, that would require a motion. If you don't, no problem.
Okay. Members? Brett?
Second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. Brett, any comment on that?
Yep, Mr. Chairman, just a note that there is a governor's letter also recommending effective immediate for the funding in question for just the $3 million.
Yeah, and we'll deal with that tomorrow. That's right. Okay, so we have the motion. It's been seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Any other amendments on Agency 55? Okay, vote on Agency 55. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, Agency 55 has been closed. Now we're on Agency 57. We are on Wyoming Community College Commission. We're on Administration, page 18, Unit 0101. Any amendments? Motion on the table is Gov's Rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 22. Wyoming Family Literacy Program, Unit 0107. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. We're on page 27. Colleges, Unit 0201. Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to offer an amendment to restore the $14,349,000 1,076 in enrollment growth funding.
Second. Then motion second. Any discussion? Representative Wallace?
Mr. Chairman, you know, we've had quite a lot of input on this, and I think it's pretty clear that there's a distinct need, especially in those colleges that are really focused on preparing our industrial workforce. The other thing that I don't know really did come out in those discussions, though, is I want to remind the committee that the funds to pay for those extra instructors that are needed to fill those classes is really split with the colleges. I think it's like a 60-40 split, and I'm not sure whether it's – and maybe, Don, maybe you can tell me, is the 60% the state portion, or is the 60% the local portion of those salaries at community colleges? So it's not pure state dollars that we're talking about here. This is being added to by the locals who are faced with these challenges.
Let's take that one. Honor Don.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, it's about 61% state-funded and 39% local resources.
Okay. All
right.
Any other discussion?
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Perkins.
A question. Is it capable for them to distinguish between online enrollments? I think we heard that they could distinguish between online enrollments and actual physical attendance as far as enrollment growth. Is that correct?
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, I believe they can distinguish that. I don't believe that the formula requires that distinction.
Okay. Just, Don, just a question. In last year's cuts, and did Community College Commission biannualize their cuts?
Yes.
Yes.
So that number is another $6 million in this budget?
Yes, that number, Mr. Chairman, that number is about $5.8 million.
So the total is 12, or close to 12, Mr. Gochair.
Yep.
Okay. Okay, Senator Meyer.
You know, this is that area where we know that perhaps this formula that they have isn't the best. I don't know exactly how to go about that, whether we should ask for the authorization to look at the formula in that statute or pass it off to another committee, but it seems like it always gets back to us. And I think there's some things that whether we look at the formula or another committee looks at the formula that we need to have. And going to Senator Perkins' question, the question I had to Commissioner Rose was the difference in cost between online and traditional classrooms. I wonder if this would be a good place to put a footnote or an amendment to this amendment to require them to come back with an analysis on the actual costs in providing online so we can get some real numbers for the different types of instruction that they use at the community colleges so we have some actual facts to work off of next year.
Okay, Mr. Co-Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, whatever number we come up with to take care of this particular budget, and we have one on the floor, we need to do something in this arena. There's no question about it. And certainly when the colleges, and I talked about this the other day, Mr. Chairman, where they did, in fact, make the reductions. And in my college up in Riverton Central, actually pink-slipped some individuals because they really took seriously the biannualization of the cuts. So as a minimum, they should receive that. As to how we go forward, and there's some concerns, I think valid concerns about this formula. You know, but we told them to do this formula, and it's the way we authorize, and that's what we told them and expected of them. So there's certainly an obligation for this committee and the state to fund to some level. I don't know if it's all the way to 14, if there's something in between, but that's what we'll decide. As to the future, Mr. Chairman, you and I have talked about this, and I think it's the JAC that needs to do it. I think we need to take one good hard look and come up with if there's such a thing as a plan, and if nobody likes it, then maybe it's a good plan and have something that we can all live by. So we don't do this every year. It's been going on for 4 or 5 years now. It's just not the way to do proper planning and budgeting, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. So the motion then is to restore this 14.3. Representative Stubbs.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I would move to amend the motion I think given what lies in front of us and the fact that we do have to look at the formula, the fact that everybody recognizes some work needs to be done on that urges some caution because we're not going back from whatever funding level we come up with this biennium. So I would move to amend the motion to add instead $6 million for enrollment growth instead of the 14.
Okay. Is there a second? Been seconded by Representative Nicholas.
Mr. Chairman, okay, could we explain that again?
Senator Perkins.
I'm not sure what the net the net of that was. I didn't quite hear understand that.
So instead of the 14 million for enrollment growth, it'd be 6 million.
Okay. So everybody's clear on the motion.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Wallace.
I would speak against that for several reasons. First of all, based on actual enrollment growth experiences, they have based this $14 million on a, I believe it was a 9-10 fiscal year. If they would have based it on what the actual growth has been, that figure is something like 17 to 19 million would have been the number that they would have logically come forward with. So they've already adjusted it downward, thinking that that's the way the trend lines are going across the whole system. But what is occurring here is the largest enrollment growth is happening at those institutions that are being charged by their local industry for things like welding and diesel mechanics, which are, in fact, the most expensive programs to implement. So I'm going to argue to keep that number up higher, maybe possibly if the concern is that some of the colleges are pumping up their enrollment through very low-cost online programs, maybe we just ask them to exclude the online enrollments from the enrollment growth piece, making more sense, which would give those colleges that are really faced with these challenges to put up these high-priced programs the resources that they need, which are drying up at the local level. They've been making up the difference by, one-time money from other entities, and they're not seeing the ability to do that, but they're still seeing the demand from industry to educate these people.
Okay. Any other discussion on the amendment to the amendment? Mr. Co-Chair?
Mr. Chairman, I would propose that we delete the 6 and go to 9, and there's a reason and a rationale behind that, Mr. Chairman, and it's so complicated when you look at the formula, but the fact is the enrollment growth has gone down. And it's headed that direction south a little bit. And I plugged some numbers in there and Representative Stubbs, and it's hard to really, as an engineer, to be able to present to you if you were my attorney in some kind of a case that the numbers really track. But you can, the way I did it, looked up, and I had a number of 9 million in mind before we got started, and that's how I came up with it. And I wish I could provide to the committee more rationale. And if that 9 million works, I'll try to provide that. But that would be my motion, Mr. Co-Chair.
Okay, hold on a minute. Let's vote on the amendment to the amendment, which is 6 million. Is there further discussion on that? Okay, we're going to vote on the amendment to the amendment to put this dollar amount at 6 million. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed?
No.
It's been defeated. We're back on the original motion of the 14.3.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we put 9 million in, and I'm not going to go through my logic.
Is there
again.
A second? It's been seconded. Any discussion? Representative Wallace.
Mr. Chairman, perhaps I would offer an amendment to that amendment, if that's in order.
Is that? How far can we go down? I think we want it. We're already on an amendment to the amendment.
Okay, let's deal with this one. Let's vote
okay,
on this
one.
Okay,
any further discussion? Okay, the motion amendment to the amendment is 9 million. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
All those in favor, raise your hand. 4, 5, 6, 7. That has been adopted. Okay. Now we're on the original motion has been amended, and it is at 9 million.
Mr.
Is there
Chair?
Further discussion? Representative Wallace.
I would offer an amendment that would limit the enrollment growth to those programs which are not online.
Is there a second? No second. Okay, any other discussion? Representative Nicholas.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that the additional funds are paid to only classes completed in terms of rather than enrollment classes. So it's based upon end of calendar or semester year completion of the classes.
Very good. So the 9 million is on completion. Is there a second by Mr. Co-Chair? Okay, any discussion?
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Wallace.
I think that that will not work with the way that the funding actually occurs, because their college funding is always based on, and I may need some help here, but I think from a practical standpoint that's not possible, because they don't get their funding after the fact. They get their funding up front. So it would have to include some kind of a mechanism to adjust or something in order to make that work.
Okay. Wasn't there discussion? Oh, they're moving in this direction, actually, part of their funding model. Does anybody have any more information on that on the stream, or when it's, is it coming one big tranche of money or in a couple payments? Anybody have that information for us? I don't think anybody knows. Senator Meyer?
I think with that in light, if we said that the first year is as it is now because it was based on historical information, but the second year of the biennium's funding would be based on actual completion, then they'd have this first year of the biennium to get the actual completion numbers and go forward.
Okay, I think we might have some information, Don. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I think that would work in terms of process. I need a little bit more detail. If you'd split the $9 million in half and say the first half is through the current formula, the second half is based upon completions of school year 2014 or something to that effect.
You know, I think you could take the Senator Representative Nicholas's motion and work on a previous year completion. I mean, it can be done, I think. You're just
The other way you could do it is you could take 80% or 70% of enrollment and then pay that, and at the end of the semester upon completion, you do distribution.
Exactly.
You need to take away.
I think we can let the commission figure that out. We don't have to solve that today. Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion on based on completion? Okay, all those in favor, raise your hand. All those in favor. 2, 3, 4, 5. That's been adopted. That motion's been adopted. Any further amendments on Community College Commission?
Mr. Chairman, I think it's a footnote. I'll wait.
Okay. Anything else on this agency? Okay, we're voting on agency 57. Excuse me. We're not done with.
We got to vote on the.
Yeah. Okay, let me back up. We are still on unit 0201, state aid. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, we voted on the $9 million, didn't we?
Yeah, but we haven't voted on the. That was the amendment to the amendment.
Right.
Oh, my mistake. Okay, we're back on the $9 million. Getting ahead of myself.
No.
Thought we had $9 million on the state aid. Okay, all those in favor of $9 million, and as it stands,
Point of order, Mr. Chairman. Okay, we voted on the $9 million amendment to it. What we haven't voted on is the original amendment that Sue made and where we amended to the $9
million. That's where we're at.
That's where we're at.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Time out. Exactly what are we voting on?
We've voted to amend your original motion to $9 million based on completion. And that has been successful.
All right.
And now we're voting on the original motion to pull it all together.
All right.
Brett?
Mr. Chairman, just a question clarifying. The request submitted by the commission was to add this to the standard as opposed to having it be one time as it has historically been, and I'm just asking for clarification on what the committee's action might mean in that regard.
Okay. So we'll have to solve that here in a bit. Let's first, I think, vote on this motion to dispatch that, and then if there's a motion to, as I see this is going to be part of the standard budget unless somebody makes a motion to make it effective only for this biennium. So that's the way it will roll out. Okay, we're on the original motion. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That has been adopted. Are there further motions on this unit? Mr. Co-Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that it's one time as we're going to do an analysis of this, and I think we will, that we still are not finished with this. We still have a formula that none of us feel really comfortable with, so I would move that it be one time.
It's been seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Okay, further motions on unit 0201. Motion is GovsRec as amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. We're now on page 30, College Health Insurance, Unit 0202. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted.
Mr. Chairman.
Don.
On this unit, you'll note that the governor's recommendation included some language that, but was not in footnote form. The question is whether or not the committee wants to proceed with his recommendation, which would mean that future expansions in community college employees would have to appear in an exception request for the group health insurance plan. Currently, if a college expands and adds employees, they're automatically considered in the standard budget. His recommendation is to put them in the exception budget. If you want to do that, I think it requires a footnote.
Okay. Members? Anybody want to make that motion?
So moved.
It's been moved and seconded. Discussion? Representative Stubson.
Mr. Chairman, do we have the option of not including them? I guess I'm not totally understanding. It seems like if we hire them, they're included whether they're we vote for an exception or not. I don't understand the purpose behind the suggestion.
I think the issue here, Don, maybe explain it to us, but it's whether they're going to be covered by insurance. We're going to grow the numbers.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I think it's more will the state pay for the insurance?
Yeah.
And Mr. Chairman, if you look at that narrative on what the governor's recs are, it's that they've added, the colleges have added 79 to positions and it increased the state's cost by $3 million almost, and I think he just wants to have a handle on it, and I think that makes good sense.
Okay. Any other discussion? All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Okay, the motion on Unit 0202 is Gov's Rec as amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 32, Unit 0204, Library Funding. The motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Next is page 36. And this is Unit 0301, Contingency Royalty Bonus Distribution. Motion on the floor is Gov's Rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 40, Adult Basic Education, Unit 0901. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 44. Unit 0902, High School Equivalency Certification. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 48, Maui Nursing Loan and Grant Program. Unit 1001. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 52, Veterans Tuition Waiver Program. Unit 1501, motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 56, Wyoming Teacher Shortage Loan Program, Unit 2001, motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor,
just a second.
Say aye. Time out.
Chairman.
Mr. Co-Chair.
The agency request was $1,030,000, and the governor reduced it by $760,000, so it's $270,000. That's right, Brett. Could you give us a little background on that?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Co-Chair. If you look at page 56, this is the bulk of the reduction. Our understanding and our communication with the commission is that there's a sufficient amount of existing funding that does not revert available for this program. So they indicated to us they did not need the standard budget funding as contained in Unit 2001. And so the governor's recommendation reflects that the funding within the standard budget, other than the administrative cost portion, is not necessary for the 15-16 biennium.
Mr. Chairman, I think I know where this might go, but I would move to reduce that further by $170,000 and leave it at $100,000. I just don't I never felt very comfortable or about this particular program. I don't really think it's going to work. And so that would be my motion.
Second.
Okay, it's been motioned.
Mr. Chairman.
Seconded. Representative Burkhart.
Mr. Chairman, where are we? Because that I'm looking at the – we're not in the unit section. We're in the division.
We're on – I'm on page 56, and yep. I think the numbers
– Mr. Chairman.
Brett.
Mr. Chairman, I think the co-chairman is working off of page 53, which actually includes two different programs.
Yeah, as a summary.
And so there's an additional reduction recommended in these in the governor's recs for the adjunct professor loan program, which is the unit
next.
Following the one I just described.
Okay. So we're on page 56. I think there's only 40,000 in the governor's recommendation on unit 2001.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. I was on the summary page rather than the unit, so I'll withdraw my motion.
Okay, thank
my
you.
My second's okay with that.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're on page 56, it's Gov's Rec, Wyoming Teacher Shortage Loan Program, which has $40,000 in the governor's recommendation.
Okay, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Meyer.
I guess a question to Brent. So there's more money left on the table than the $40,000. What is that number?
Go ahead, Brent.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Meyer, I don't have that available to me. I can get that information for you prior to any further consideration of the budget, but I don't have it off the top of my head.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I think the best teacher loan or shortage program we've got is high wages, and I think we're in good shape. I'd move to take that to a $600,000 reduction. We got
zeroed
some money
out.
Left over. Zeroed out.
Second.
Okay, it's been second. Any discussion? Okay. Any discussion? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That's been adopted. Okay. Page 59, any other motions on unit 2001? Okay, all those in favor, the motion on the floor then is Gov's Rec as amended. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Been adopted. Page 59, Adjunct Professor Loan Program, Unit 2500.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Co-Chair.
I would have a motion to move that to 02. These programs, I just don't really think the value is there compared to the cost, so I'd ask that would be my motion, Mr. Chairman.
Been seconded by Representative Stupson. Discussion?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Meyer.
Adjunct professor salaries in relationship to teacher salaries are much, much lower, and there is a shortage there primarily because community colleges can't pay the wages and be competitive with K through 12. So I would hope that we would resist this motion.
Well, but Mr. Chairman, this isn't about salaries. This is about a loan program for them. So I voted up, voted down.
Yeah, loan repayment. Okay, and basically it affects certain occupations, just like the teacher loan repayment, as I think math, science, special education, foreign language, not all teachers, and I'm assuming this is the same. Okay, any other discussion? Okay, motion then is to zero that out. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
It's been adopted. Okay. Motion, any other okay. Motion on the floor then is Gov's Rec as amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Been adopted. Okay. We are on page 65, Public Television, Unit 3001. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. We're on page 68, WPTV Council, Unit 3003. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Are there any other amendments, Don? Anything we have to clean up? Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, not really clean up, but I will mention that a couple of amendments have come forward regarding activities at colleges and the university. You could either deal with them here if they affect both the community college and the university, or take them up with 067, the university.
Don, I have a couple of those, and I'm going to take them up at 67 when we're talking about the university. That'd be okay. Anybody else? Senator Meyer?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, can we go back into unit number 3001, public television?
Okay, that's on page 65.
Yeah, 63.
3001, public TV. We'll open that back up.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have an amendment there, I guess voted up, voted down, however you want, put back in 55,000 of that. Contracted services to produce some curriculum about Native American history and things, but to put 55,000 back in and say that another 55,000 has to be matched by the tribes to go ahead and produce that. So if they want our help, we'll give them our help, but you know that they have to cost share in it. And I guess, you know, vote it up, vote it down. I think it's probably a very valuable part of Wyoming's history, but it's even a more valuable part of the Native American culture and that documentation of that, and if they feel it's important, then we should step up, but necessarily not fund all of it. So.
Okay, is there a second? And seconded by Senator Perkins. Any further discussion? Representative Wallace.
I just don't recall. Was the $55,000 the total cost of the program, or was it already a portion of it? It was already a portion of it?
On page 63, the breakdown is there. Contracted services for Native American consultants is $75,000. They have history teachers, curriculum specialists for $10,000. Graphics and web designers for $10,000, in-state travel for $5,000, narration, music, and captioning and rights is $10,000. So that's the breakdown of it. It might be that the tribes might want to say, well, the Native American consultants would be our in-kind contribution. You know, we wouldn't prohibit that. So, you know, there's that situation where we could work with those folks. And that we just wouldn't pay him to do it. So, okay. You know.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Okay, all those in favor raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That motion has failed. Any other amendments on public television? Okay, that... we will vote again to close. All those in favor, it's Gov's Rec on unit 3001, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's closed. Any other amendments on Community College Commission? Vote to close agency 57. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, agency 57 is closed. Okay, we are on Agency 60, Office of State Lands and Investments. We are on page 22, Administration and Support, Unit 0101. Motion is Gov's Rec. Okay, I'll hold on here. Wait a minute. Okay, while we get everybody. I'm just opening future tabs, trying to stay ahead of you guys. I think we'll probably have a break. Okay, is everybody ready? Okay, we're on page 22. Unit 0101, Administration and Support. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. We're on page 38. I just want to, we're on page 38, Trust Land Management, Unit 0102. I just want to check my notes. Are there any amendments to this?
Mr. Chairman, on 0101, I was trying to look at my notes. On the you know, and I think it's just the way the standard budget worked to the base budget. We went from 10 to 17. Explain that to me again, would you please, Brett?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. Could you, Mr. Co-Chair, could you repeat the question?
Mr. Chairman, on page 22, the standard budget versus the base budget, there's a 7 personnel difference, and I'm sure there's just the way you netted them out, but I can't remember. I don't. My notes aren't clear on that.
Brett?
I believe that's the case, Mr. Chairman, but let me kind of walk through some of these other units and confirm that.
Okay, everybody take a second to look at your notes. You know, I had a question when we get to Don, and you know, we've used school foundation money to kind of improve state land leases. What unit is that? Is that on the next one on management? My question was, how many of these are actually school trust lands? Some are other state lands, and I wanted to get the breakdown on that. I was wondering, I haven't seen that number. Go ahead, while we're getting folks looking over their notes, can you answer that?
Mr. Chairman, it is on the next unit 0102 on page 38 and 39.
Right.
There is $736,000 from the SFP for that trust land management. I don't know exactly how much, but I believe it's in the neighborhood of 80%.
Is school funded, school trust land.
School trust.
Is it in a, you have that information, Representative Nichols? Okay, you can see where I'm probably going to go with this deal on an 80-20 split on that amount when we get to that unit. Okay, we are still on.
Mr. Chairman.
Page 22, Mr. Co-Chair.
Mr. Chairman, on 0101, I would move that we, under Object Code 0903, 500,000 special projects and services, professional fees, that we reduce that by half. And Mr. Chairman, this is the they want to increase the number of audits, and if you look at our compliance ratio and the amount of money we're collecting, and then you look at also the Department of Audit, and you know, people are really, you know, there's really a lot of high compliance, and I'm not sure we need to go out there, and I don't see the rate of return being significant enough to do that. I think they could do it for the 250.
Are you on page 22, Mr.
Goldberg? I am.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, page 22, object code 0901, professional fees.
Okay. You said 03. It confused me.
I'm sorry. It's priority 3.
Has it been seconded?
Has this been seconded? Is there a second?
I'll second for discussion.
Okay, second.
Mr. Chairman, I guess my question would be, sometimes these things have to be audited by statute, so that would be my concern with the motion. Mr. Chairman, is whether or not statute requires that audit, and so we've got to fix this legislatively as opposed to just take away the appropriations. Anybody know?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I can't quote the statute, but under their justification, they want to increase the number, so they're saying they don't feel like they're getting enough audits based on some agency strategic plan, and I just think with $250,000, it's all outside professional fees. You have the Department of Audit also doing audits, I think, and then you look at the compliance ratios, it's really high. I mean,
Mr. Chairman.
Now, Mr. Co-Chair, is this on priority number 3 that you're focused on, and number 2, priority 3, which is compliance system, the LARCS enhancement?
Well, that's what I'm curious about, Mr. Co-Chairman, because that particular request is for basically a computer update for their LARCS system. It's not in order to maintain the leasing and the tracking system on the leases. So I'm not sure that's where if we want to cut funds from that program. I'm not sure that's where we do it.
Mr. Chairman, I understand all that. And vote it up, vote it down.
Okay. It's motion and second. Any other discussion? Okay, all those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
That motion has failed.
Okay.
We're still on page 22, unit 0101. Further amendments? Brett, you have... Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, just to follow up on the co-chair's question with respect to the movement of positions internally into the department, the Chapter 17 report does reflect a number of movements between units within the agency.
Okay. Okay, motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 38, Trust Land Management, Unit 0102. I have an amendment. If I can find it, I got to scroll through my notes. Don, that's the 700 and Management Access Rehabilitation. Is that where it's at? 700. Here it is.
Page 37, Mr. Chairman.
Priority, and is it page 30? I have page 34, where it starts. Number 3, priority 8, $736,500. So if you can do the math on that, and I'd like to have that amount 80% paid by school foundation, 20% general fund.
Second.
And second. Any discussion? And I think we've heard the discussion, 80% of these enhancements are, in fact, school trust lands appropriately paid out of the school foundation program. The others are other state trust lands, 20% paid out of the general fund. Okay, any further discussion? All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Okay, any further amendments on page 38? On unit 0102, the motion is Gov's Rec as amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. We're on page 45, Clean Water Revolving Fund, Unit 0103. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted, 3-0. Okay, page 52, Government Grants and Loans. That is Unit 0104. Any amendments? Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Been adopted. Page 62, Field Services, Unit 0105. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 64, Royalty Compliance and Mineral Leasing, Unit 0107. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 67, Information Technology Division, Unit 0109. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 74, Drinking Water Revolving Fund, Unit 0131. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor,
question,
say aye.
Mr. Chairman.
Question? Time out.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. On these, Brett, this is just a number that, you know, we think the funds are being reduced at the federal level, the same with the previous one we had on the Clean Water Revolving Fund, just to provide for us some those numbers. And if we get to round robin, there's no sense in tying up general fund dollars in these two accounts if we're not going to use them. And I think you've done some pretty good analysis, but I just want to be sure that if there's, that, you know, we may be able to reduce that further, because we're just not going to use them. And so what I guess I'm asking for us to provide as well is that the amount of money we used last time, just to see if those numbers really jive. And I'm sure that's a process you went through anyway, but it could be we could pick up $1 million more of general fund money to use somewhere else.
Brett?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Co-Chair, we'll follow up with the agency to provide some additional information to you on what their expected demand is as it relates to historical and the reduction in the federal funds reflected in both these units.
Thank you.
Okay, so voting on unit 0131. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 77, Forest Service MOU, unit 0166. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. We're on page, I believe, 91.
Time out, Mr. Chairman.
No, we're
yeah.
on page 83, actually. Okay.
Okay, on 83, that's where we are, aren't we?
83? We're on page 83, Forestry Division, Unit 0201.
Yeah, Don, we talked about this. There was a footnote that that I had given to you. Do you have that?
Mr. Chairman, I do. I suspect the issue here is with respect to Senator Hicks. Is that that the issue? He requested up to $350,000 before this committee, I believe back in December, shall be used only for a authorized at-will employee contract and one part-time employee with the cooperation of federal BLM in order to assist the Bureau in their development of timber sales in Carbon, Albany, and Sweetwater counties for the next biennium. Personnel funded under the footnote would remain under the exclusive control and supervision of the Forestry Division for the state, and it would be one-time funding. It would be his proposal if the committee wishes to design.
Yeah. And Mr. Chairman?
Joe, Chair.
And that amount, Don, was that 375?
Mr. Chairman, I had 350.
For two positions? Yeah, Mr. Chairman, my motion would be to do 175 in one position. And if I can get a second, I'll explain it.
Second it?
Yeah, and yeah. Mr. Chairman, this is a situation where we just got a new sawmill down in Carbon County and Representative Burkhart's district, and because of the inability of the federal government to do their job and get out there and be able to determine where they could go in and harvest, they say they don't have the people. So we have a resource there. We have the sawmill set up, and the federal government isn't doing their bit, and this is a way to get that timber out there so they can harvest it, and that's the purpose of it. Now, Don, one other thing, too. We talked about having the BLM pay us back out of the royalties they receive on the timber that's harvested. I don't think we could put that in this. Maybe that could be a footnote or something. You remember that conversation?
Mr. Chairman, I do, and I visited with Senator Hicks on that option, as well as the option that once the sales were made that the company would repay, and he did not believe that either option was possible. The first one would be prohibited by the federal government, since those funds don't come back to the BLM, they go to the federal treasury, and the second option would make the bidding prohibitively expensive, in his opinion.
Yeah. Okay, then I'll stick with my motion, Mr.
Just a question, you know, and as I read this motion that you typed, it talks about a part-time employee and $175,000 for two summers of part-time work. Basically, that's what you're, I think, talking about. A person's not going to be out there in January and December marking trees. Seems like it's a little high for that. What do you got, Don? What do you?
Mr. Chairman, this was for one AWEC, which could be year-round and full-time, and one part-time employee. I'm not sure which one is being cut as a result of this motion, but I believe you would either need to specify that the part-time person is the one that's retained or the AWEC person. The AWEC provides a fair bit more flexibility.
I guess my question then is, this is how I understand what this person is going to do, is going to be out in the forest marking trees. That's too simple on that assumption, or what's the person going to be doing?
Mr. Chairman, the way I understood it is you'd have the one would be working with the BLM to be able to go through the process of allowing them to be able even to do it. Then you had physically someone going out and marking the tree. And the reason I cut it in half, I think you could do all of that with one person. And if there's a better way to come up with the dollar amount, I'm open to that.
Mr. Chairman, have we had any input from the state lands to say that they have the internal personnel that can actually do this and just assign it to it instead of creating a new position that may not ever go away?
Co-chair.
Mr. Chairman, I haven't actually had that. I know that Senator Hicks had visited with them, and the Forest Service, especially Bill, the forester that we have, and my understanding is that didn't feel like they did, but if this should pass, I can get that information and provide it to the committee at a later date. I can't tell you. I have not had that conversation personally.
Senator Meyer?
What's the possibility of actually having that contracted, so we don't have more state employees, but you have someone who's a private contractor do it, it might be able to be cheaper. So, you know, I don't know if there's a way to put some flexibility in the footnote to say that, yeah, you can do it with these employees, or you could look at contracting, because possibility you could have a logging company that has probably more expertise than anybody you could hire go out and mark the trees that they need to have marked, and pay them a nominal contract to do it, and then you're not spending as much money for the whole process. But it's just a way that if it's available, we shouldn't, you know, forget about that option of contracting in the private sector.
Okay. Any other discussion? Any other? Okay, so the motion on the floor is to cut that amount in half to 175, and the way it's expressed is just one employee?
One AWAC, Mr.
One AWAC. Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Okay, all those in favor, raise your hand. Just say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, that motion has been adopted. Okay, very good. Any other amendments?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Stubson.
Mr. Chairman, I would move on the bark beetle funding, the governor's additional $5 million to reduce that amount to $3.5
million. Is that in a governor's letter, too, I believe, coming up?
There is. I mean, there's some other aspects to it, but
okay.
I figure I'd tackle this part of it now.
Okay. Say, can you restate that again? I'm sorry.
It'd be to cut the governor's additional $5 million to $3.5
million. Okay. There's a second.
And, Mr. Chairman, if you recall when we talked about this, those additional monies, that figure came out of the governor's office, and there was some discussion with the Department of Forestry about the ability to deploy these funds and really the ability to absorb these funds. And it is a big problem. It's a problem we need to address, but sometimes if you dump a bunch of money after a problem, you don't address it as efficiently as you could. And so this is really just to ensure that there is money there to deal with it, but it's money that can be absorbed and used efficiently.
Okay. I'd make a motion to actually take that number to zero, and we'll deal with it in the governor's letter. There is a second. Okay, so there's an amendment to the amendment. I think everybody understands it, Mr. Co-Chair.
Oh, and Mr. Chairman, I'm fine with voting for that. You know, we haven't done it in other places relative to the governor's letter, but I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Okay, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That's been adopted. Now we're back on the original motion, which has been amended. Any other discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Okay, any Don?
Mr. Chairman, just some clarification with the sponsor of the prior amendment of the Senator Hicks amendment. Is that 175 new money, or I was kind of under the impression it was 175 out of the pine beetle money, but I may have misunderstood that.
I'm sorry for the confusion, Mr. Chairman. That was one-time money, new money, one-time money.
Okay.
And we can sure fix that when we get to the governor's letter. And but since the governor, that amount is now zero.
It's going to have to be new.
It's going to have to be.
Okay, very good. Any other amendments? Okay, unit 0201, is motion is Gov's Rec as amended. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 87, Federal Excess Property Program, unit 5001. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Been adopted. Page 91, County Emergency Suppression Unit 0301. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 97, Fire Unit 0401. Give folks a little bit of time to look at their notes. Are there any amendments?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Mr. Chairman, under 0401, object code 0901, professional fees, $148,000, additional money for a helicopter. I would move that go to zero.
Second that.
Second.
Okay, discussion. Mr. Senator Meyer.
Isn't that area on fire suppression, the helicopters, is that where we're at, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, we are.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I think the testimony that we had was that that saved us a lot of money to get the fires out when they needed to be put out rather than wait until they got started and spend millions of dollars. So I think this could be penny wise and pound foolish, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Co-Chair.
Mr. Chairman, we already have a contract for 105 days, which has been more than enough in the past. We have the fire suppression account if they needed of millions of dollars. And so I just think it's just that they have enough funds to do what they need to do.
Okay. Any other discussion? All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
It's been adopted. I have an amendment on section, it's exception request number one, priority number four on the two crew carriers for the Honor Conservation Program. It's at $240,000, and that is on page 94. It's a narrative. And my amendment would be to cut that in half.
Second.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Been adopted. Any other amendments? Any other amendments? Okay, we're voting on unit 0401. The motion is Gov's Rec as amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Okay, we are on page 102, and this is a CapCon appropriation, but this is a mineral impact fund. This is different than regular CapCon. So we'll deal with this right now. This is a grant program where the five electeds basically can grant communities, districts, wherever, out of this fund. And that $33 million is a biennial amount. Is that correct? Okay. I have a list of projects if anyone's interested to look at those. It's basically distributed around the state. From everything from, you know, an ambulance purchase to, you know, some work on our landfills to those kind of things. Mr. Chairman, I'd make a motion that we set aside $10 million of this into the account that for our Life Resource Center and our state hospital. So 10
second.
Of the 33. That's been seconded. Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman, question.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, just a second here.
Mr. Chairman.
No. Go ahead, Mr. Coach.
Yeah, the
I think. Go ahead, Mr. Coach.
Mr. Chairman, the question is, Don, under the, these are earmarked FMRs, is that correct? So we know that they're coming to this and it's already in the process and they're earmarked. Okay, thank you.
Mr. Senator Meyer.
Okay, so the motion is to take it from 33 to 23. Is that correct?
No. The motion is of this 33, 10 of it would be set aside for the Life Resource Center and the state hospital account.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that motion is premature from the standpoint that we've been talking about a task force as to what to do with this. I know we're going to have some money in the future to deal with it. However, this particular area that has been made available to the cities, towns, and counties, they use a lot of that for matching grants in their water projects as a part of their cost share to try to minimize the impact to them. It's evolved to where it's a few less ambulances, but in a little broader application to it. I know in one of my previous districts they've used it for sewer projects and water projects and other projects. I would just hope that we wouldn't diminish this account to the local governments, that there should be other areas where we can get money for the Life Resource Center and some of our other capital needs.
Mr. Chairman?
Hey, who's?
Right here.
Senator Dockstad.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Follow up on that concept. We're going to pull $10 million and put it into two facilities and pull it away from all of the towns and counties across the state. I stand against the amendment.
Any other discussion, comments, questions? Okay. All those in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
I think that amendment's been defeated, but I just want to see hands. All those in favor, please raise your hand. One, two, three, three. Okay. My hearing is faulty. Well, I appreciate that. Okay, any other amendments on this unit? You know, I have one other, but judging from the past success, I think I'll just shelve that.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Co-Chair.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, and you know, the reason I second it, I think we need to have some discussion about this, so because, you know, this is a large amount of money, and I understand that where it goes, Senator Meyer, and the good things that it does do, but there's also, it's like a lot of these, there's you have to question some of these grants, and yet I don't want to get involved in what SLIB does, but maybe there's a better way to provide legislative oversight. I mean, it's like a blank check, out the door it goes, and I think there are valid concerns there, so I understand where you're going.
Well, and I think, Mr. Co-Chair, too, and the fact that much of it is used for the community's portion of the matching grant to secure other state funds, and so there is absolutely no public or local money going into many of these projects. This provides the local match.
Mr. Chairman, I've got one more amendment to.
Go ahead.
I would move that we take $3 million of these funds and offset the $6 million by $3 million what we paid into for the Fremont County and the Sweetwater County courthouses. So half of it, they give half of it, and then half comes out of the general fund for the total of the $6 million that we appropriated. So in other words, we'll take $3 million, $1.5 million, $1.5 million to Fremont County and to Sweetwater County out of this fund, and then our appropriation for $6 million that was passed by Senator Bebout will be supplemented, so that only half of it comes from the general fund and half of it comes from this fund.
Okay, I think everybody understood the total, the grand total into those two projects, still $6 million. It's just the funding source, three from this program, this CAPCON appropriation, this impact money, and three from general fund. I'd second that. Senator Meyer.
Well, Mr. Chairman, here we go again. We're back on the merry-go-round, I guess. You know, we're taking it from all the cities, towns, and counties, as a good senator from Star Valley said, and we're just giving it to two. You know, I understand the angst that we have with the SLIP program, and sometimes monies that have been spent out of there, but if your intent really is to reduce that, then maybe some kind of motion to say that you're going to cut it in half, expend it all in the first biennium, but you take that money and put it to the direct distributions of cities, towns, and counties where you're cutting it from. So, Mr. Chairman, I speak against this amendment.
Okay. Any other discussion? Okay, all those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Show of hands, all in favor. One, two, three, four, five, six. Oh, seven.
That no, 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 no.
Oh, okay. Okay, let's try that again. Yeah, that's almost a 6.5. We'll still win here. Okay, let's all those in favor, please raise your hand. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven.
Oh, it's one of those.
That motion has been adopted. Okay.
Well, Mr. Okay. Chairman, did I notice there were seven House and five senators on that one?
Okay. There was on that. Okay.
Well, we'll remember that one. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you. And, okay, you know, just for, since we're having such a discussion about this, I'll talk about this fund before we leave it. says in statute to, A, alleviate an emergency situation that would pose a direct immediate threat to health, safety, and welfare, B, comply with federal or state mandate, C, provide an essential public service. And so, you know, I guess as I look at all these, they're all, I see one on here that's an emergency. Yeah, the previous biennium. It says emergency on it, and it spells it out. The rest of them are little bits here and there and some, I guess, public service. So, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to run my amendment, which would add a D to this for this period, would also to provide corridor beautification equal matching grants for highway entrances to Wyoming municipalities. So it would open up the grant process a little more. Been seconded. Any discussion?
Chairman, so I understand what this motion would do is now this would take the reduced amount of money for cities, towns, and counties and but broaden the scope that they can use it for. Is that correct?
No reduction at all on that, just broadens the scope. You said reduction and broaden the scope. There's no reduction. That motion's already been decided. Any other discussion? Senator Meyer.
You know, I agree with you that we do have to have some discussion about what these funds can be used for, because for the longest time, the only thing they were used for were ambulances and fire trucks. And the cities, towns, and counties had a lot more pressing needs than ambulances and fire trucks. And so, you know, I think that we do have to have a long, in-depth discussion about what these funds can be used for, to refocus on what the cities and towns and counties actually need. And perhaps we need to have that dialogue, and I think the sooner the better. But at this point in time, I think we've got a lot of funds in there in beautification in the highway department. We've got the downtown program that we have with the Business Council, Main Street. So, Mr. Chairman, we've got sufficient funds for the goals that you're trying to get more money for already in the Business Council and other areas. So I would hope that we resist this, but would also hope that we have that discussion with the cities and towns on how to make sure that we've got the proper authorization and what these funds should be used for in the future.
Thank you. Senator Meyer, I just did just a quick count. I counted, I think, 8 fire trucks in this last biennium. But and I don't want to go anecdotal on this fund, but I think the real issue is there are some legitimate emergencies. There's no doubt that we want to take care of. But I think as appropriation, as our branch of government, I think we got to get a handle on this. And when we say matching funds and if you apply and get other state funds to match your funds, I don't think that's anybody's intent. And it's supposed to be for emergencies. Now, back to this amendment. It's a huge piece, I think, of building our state, this whole beautification. As I said yesterday, people's first reaction to our communities is when you drive in, and with the exception of Cheyenne and perhaps Du Bois, who's just done an unbelievable job driving into that community, we got a lot of work to do. So that's all that did is open it up. So with that,
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Burkhart.
Just to add to that, actually this past year I've gotten a lot of constituent complaints about what the state looks like, of trash accumulating, waste being thrown alongside the roads, and that sort of thing. So I support the amendment.
Okay. Question. Good question. All those in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Holy cow. It's a landslide. Okay. That motion's been adopted. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Any other amendments on this unit?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Why don't you explain to us where we are?
Mr. Chairman, we are on page.
Oh, no, not that part. All the amendments, what the amendments are.
That we've done on this?
Yes.
unit. On unit.
I want to be sure we all understand.
Okay, absolutely. On unit 0902, the First Amendment was to take, set aside $3 million of this for the two county court projects and to displace the $3 million in general fund that we added to yesterday. The next amendment, that successful amendment, was to add in local into the funding formula of this was community beautification. That's the two I have. And then, what else do you have?
We cut the fire. Didn't we do the unit?
That's in a separate one.
Yeah.
On this,
okay.
But on this CapCon appropriations impact, we have two successful amendments is what I have.
Okay. That's what I have, too.
Mr. Chairman, that's also consistent with my notes. I just wanted to be clear about whether or not you want to be specific about these two court facilities or whether it's still the general program for court
improvement. I thought we were specific yesterday in our appropriation. It's a funding swap for those for that Fremont County and the Sweetwater County courthouse security issues. Is that yours, Representative Nicholas? Okay. Everybody clear? Senator Meyer.
Yeah. So we'll have to go back in that governor's letter or in some way, manner, way, shape, or form and take that specific funding that we had out in those other areas or free that up for other core projects or do something.
For the gov's letter?
Yeah.
I think we just handled it just now.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Co-Chairman?
I don't think we did. I think the governor's letter has precedence over what we do in the budget. We had that discussion before. Does it or does what happens if there is a conflict there?
Go ahead.
We've already voted on this one time.
Right.
And been approved.
Mr. Chairman, the way I interpreted this was it was a subsequent motion to your action yesterday that revised the net impact of that action. That's the way I see it, too.
I'm not sure that's the way I see it, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, I think we voted on that. I think it's...
I understand the vote. I'm just talking about procedurally. If we vote for the governor's letter, then I think anything, what we're saying is anything we do after that, that may be in another budget that affects the governor's letter, we can change. Is that the way we want to do this? I mean, what have we done in the past? I'm asking that question.
Mr. Chairman, I think you have in the past done encompassing amendments that affect multiple agencies or multiple activities. And the way we look at it is the last action trumps the prior.
If that's the way you've done it in the past, I'm okay with that, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
I just want to be sure we're consistent.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. This is last in, last out? No, last in, first out.
Yeah. Okay, we are on page 102, and it is unit 0902, and the motion then is Gov's Rec as amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
It's been adopted. Okay, we're on page 107, Federal Forestry Grants, unit 0201. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Page 111, Transportation Enterprise Fund, Unit 6801. Motion is Gov's Rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. I believe that wraps that budget. Are there amendments?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I have a proposed footnote. I'd like to read that, Mr. Chairman. And the motion would be for the footnote. Upon request of the State Loan and Investment Board, the State Treasurer may invest funds received from the sale of state trust lands occurring on or before July 1, 1999, up to $2 million contained in the Common School account within the Permanent Land Fund by purchasing land and improvements thereupon within this state as assets of the trust. Any land purchases over $2 million will require legislative approval. And if I can get a second, I'll talk about that. Mr. Chairman, under our current statute, there's language that says that they can do up to $2 million now, but there's also an exemption that says they can pretty much do whatever they want if they think it's consistent with their duties and obligations, not questioning what they think to be their duties and obligations, but I consider the legislature the appropriators. And if we're going to spend $11 million on a ranch like we did here last year without any of us even knowing about it, knowing the benefits of it. And I will tell you, Mr. Chairman, that on a certain ranch that was purchased over in Natrona County and might be part of it in Converse County, that people have gone out there to recreate, and there's no trespassing signs up. So if we're going to spend our state dollars, the legislature ought to be involved in it. And that's the – actually, we ought to change the statute and do that as well. But that's this is what the footnote would be, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you. It's been seconded. Any discussion?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Meyer.
Do we have some notwithstanding language on that language that says they can do anything they want to, or does that language that says they can do anything they want to trump the budget language?
No, I'm sure it's notwithstanding. Would that be right, Don?
Mr. Chairman, I'll have to get a copy. I don't have that this particular amendment.
We'll make sure it's a notwithstanding.
Yeah, we will, okay. Mr. Chairman. And I just read the previous one that we did and it did not have that, but we'll double-check on that. But that's the intent, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, absolutely. My last little amendment was a notwithstanding. That's the way we generally write them. So, okay, any other discussion on the amendment?
Which last little one you did was notwithstanding? No, we know.
Just added a little D to A, B, and C. Well, you guys did. Yeah. Okay. Any questions on the proposal, on the amendment? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Any other amendments on Agency 60? Don?
Mr. Chairman, I wanted to bring two to your attention. The first one is from last year, 13-14 biennium, a footnote number one to the state lands and investments. At that time, the budget included a carryover provision for the trust preservation account. That has not been requested this time, but I wanted to bring it to your...
How much money is being carried over? Do we know that number? Is there money in the account still? Nobody knows.
I do not know. The second one, just to bring to your attention, is that this is if and during the budget hearing there were discussion of the fiber optic lines, and this would be the location if anyone wanted to proceed with that.
Okay, on the first issue, I would just assume those funds revert, so I would. But it's up to the committee. Okay, seeing no amendment. Any other amendments, Mr. Co-Chair?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, on that fiber optic, I believe that's the. The dark fiber from Laramie to clear to Evanston, and it belongs to the OSLI, right? And so, Mr. Chairman, the footnote I would be is that that we request that they consider. We would ask that they look at the disposition of that asset and see if we can get any money for it. It's just sit there. It's dark fiber. It's been there for 10 or 15 years, and it's cost quite a bit of money to install. I've had discussions with some of the people in the industry. They're not even sure if now, because it's waited so long, it has any value. One time it had value, we just sat on it. So I would request, and the motion would be a footnote, that they actively seek to divest themselves of that asset in a way that most cost effective.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been seconded. Just a question. Seems just... my memory that we acquired that through some kind of bankruptcy legal proceeding. I mean, we didn't actually pay to install it. It was a private company that owed us money. Is there some, Don, can you help me on that?
Mr. Chairman, yes. So the general language of the concept, but as I understand it, is the SLID board should evaluate options for and seek to actively divest itself of the fiber optic lines owned by the state situated west of Laramie. Keep in mind, the state is using the lines east of Laramie for NCAR purposes. The board shall determine whether a sale or lease of the fiber lines is consistent with the duties and obligations owed to the beneficiaries of state trust lands, because the funds came from those state trust lands, and the board shall report its findings to JAC next October. There is a dispute in that there are two companies that were involved in the acquisition of this. So there is one company from essentially Cheyenne to Sinclair, Wyoming, and another company owns the line from Sinclair to the border, or Evanston. The company that has the eastern half has clearly turned over control and ownership to the state. The company that owns the western half of that line, the Sinclair to Evanston, is still in dispute as to the ownership of that. And that's why it is it is written in such a way that it's situated west, so the SLIB board will have to conclude its determination of ownership and then how to divest itself if it's in the beneficiary's interest.
Okay, so my next question, Mr. Co-Chair, then the amendment, they could divest before we actually come back in session and see it again, or is it going to require us to take a look at it, us be the deciders, really, on the finances of it, cost benefit?
Technically, they could divest themselves. They could tomorrow without any direction. If you wanted to put language in there that would restrict that, that would be something different. But, for instance, they could sell it tomorrow if they felt it was in there.
Yeah. Well, I think I guess, Mr. Co-Chair, I'd move to amend your motion. I do think we want to get some resolution, some answers on this, but I think we ought to be the ones who are involved at least in some part before that's divested. It is a state asset and could be a very valuable state asset, particularly people in the southwestern part of the state. So that's my motion. Before anything happens, we'll see that and the report will come back to us. Does that make sense? Is there a second? Seconded by Representative Stubson?
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman,
I understand what you're saying. I appreciate that. I'm just thinking out loud, is this might be something we could utilize. You know, if the unified network moves forward, we have this dark fiber, you might be able to have the ETS and the state, the SLIP people approving it, that you might be able to use it in the negotiations on how you move forward. And then if it's and if that's a timing issue, we precluded that from happening. But that's the only concern I would have, but that's all conjecture because it's been there for 15 years anyway. I just want to get something done before it is absolutely worthless. The other thing that's happened, Mr. Chairman, is because we did nothing, a lot of other fiber has now been built. A lot of the fiber, though, goes directly from California to Chicago. It just goes through our state. There's no off-ramps, if you will. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of fiber out there, so the value of this, I'm not sure how much the value really is, but that was the purpose of it. But
okay.
I understand.
Okay. Any other discussion? Okay. Voting on the amendment to the amendment. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
All those in favor, raise your hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. That motion has been defeated. Back on the original amendment. All those in any discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, that has been adopted. Okay, any other amendments before we leave Agency 60? Okay, motion is to close Agency 60. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, let's take a break. Agency 60 is closed. We'll resume with Agency 63. We'll take a Senate stretch.
Hey, Harsh, talking to Nelson.
Okay, we're back live. And I have us on the governor's residence. And that is page 8, residence operation, unit 0101. Motion is Gov's rec. Any amendments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Been adopted. Page 12, unit 0201. Governor's residence. Motion is Gov's rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Been adopted. Motion to close agency 63. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Just a technical, that is the proper motion, right, to close it. Is that right? Okay. Okay, we're on agency 66, Wyoming Tourism Board. I'm on page 16, unit 0101. Motion is Gov's rec. Are there any amendments?
Mr. Chairman.
Who is this? Representative Stubson.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move to, on the exception request, split that in half. There's the request for 2 seasonal employees at the visitor center. I'd reduce that to 1 seasonal.
And what page is that exception?
The outline of it is on page 15.
Okay. Got it. I'll second that. Is there, for discussion, is there any discussion? Okay. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? It's been adopted. Any other amendments? Page 16. Okay.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Co-Chair.
I've got an amendment on the governor's recs, but it deals with the next one. What's the best way to do it, Don? Is just to do it on the next one, probably?
Okay. Okay, we're voting on unit 0101. Hold time out, Don.
Mr. Chairman, I think it's appropriate here
Okay.
It combines. It actually affects this one and the next one. But prior to closing it, I think it would be best to take it up here.
Okay, right here. Go ahead, Mr. Co-Chair.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I would move that under the Unit 102, the agent's request of $900,000 go to zero, and that $900,000 would move over to their 101 unit to offset the increase by half, pay for half of the going into the Seattle market.
Okay, it's been motioned and second. Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman,
let
me explain it one more time. Mr. Chairman, what we're doing, as I remember the testimony, is that in this account for, I call it CFE, there's about $1.2 or $1.3 million that is in the account now that is available, and as I remember the language on that, that does not revert. So that's available. So the money they're requesting for this next biennium is $900,000. I'm requesting that go to zero, and the money be moved back to the tourism budget to where there was $1.8 million, and I'm going by approximations to go into the Seattle market, and it would fund half of that, and the other half would not be funded.
Okay.
That's correct.
That was seconded. Just give us a net then on that. The net of these 2 units.
Mr. Chairman, the way I understand it, it would be a net reduction of $960,000 to this budget, and a net reduction of $900,000 to the next budget.
Okay. And that's what your intention?
Yeah. Yes, Mr. Chairman, the Seattle market would be cut in half, and that would be funded by the fee. That remaining amount would be funded by it.
Okay. Any discussion? Questions? Representative Stubson.
About an amendment to the amendment, which would be the exact same thing, but you'd leave the full amount of funding for the Seattle market. So the 900 would be cut. Replace half the funding, but the remaining funding would also be there. It'd be an amendment to the amendment.
Okay. So the net would be the basically the zeroing out of that exception request in unit 0102. Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been seconded. Any discussion on that?
Okay, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Dockstader.
I'd probably stand opposed to the amendment to the amendment. I think our good co-chair's amendment was proper. It allows us to kind of step up into that mark and get a feel for Pacific Northwest before we throw a lot of money up there.
Okay. Any other discussion? Okay, voting on the amendment to the amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Okay, that motion has been defeated. Okay, we're back on the original amendment. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Any other amendments on 0101?
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Wallace.
Mr. Chairman, I think this is probably the appropriate place I'd like to offer an amendment dealing with the expansion of the Team Wyoming Rodeo Program.
Okay.
Basically, my amendment would provide to support College Rodeo in Wyoming with the associated tourism benefits of Team Wyoming, $560,000. It would include a team sponsorship for the eight college rodeo programs of $20,000 per biennium each, a $20,000 sponsorship of the regional rodeo that each college program is required to produce per biennium, $120,000 for incentive payments to, or maybe this should better be termed scholarship payments to individual athletes for a GPA of 3.0 or above plus top performance athletically. That amount is calculated at 15 athletes per team receiving a $500 scholarship. And then $30,000 to sponsor the high school national finals, which Wyoming is privileged to host both the college national finals every year in Casper, as well as we have the high school national finals currently in Rock Springs and will be back in Gillette again. I'm not sure exactly when, but soon. And then $60,000 to the Department of Tourism for the administration of that Team Wyoming program, which includes $50,000 for a contractor and $10,000 for travel for the entire biennium. And what that contractor does is work with the rodeo teams and with individual students to maximize our visibility from a tourism standpoint and to in a very similar fashion as they currently do with the PRCA Cowboys. So that's my proposal, Mr.
Okay, I'll second.
Chairman.
Discussion. Any questions? Representative Wallace? My first question, Representative Wallace, you said the eight colleges, so you're including the University of Wyoming in your sponsorships?
Absolutely, Mr.
Okay.
Chairman. The eight programs are the University of Wyoming, Cheyenne, LCCC, Eastern, Gillette College, Sheridan College, Central College, and Casper College in the Central Rocky Mountain region of the National Intercollegiate Rodeo Association. Powell also has a rodeo team, and they are actually in the Big Sky region, competing up there with some schools, four different four-year universities that have massively higher budgets of both a men's coach and a women's coach, big scholarship funds. But yet, and that's pretty much the case with all of our programs, quite honestly, is that they're running on budgets just hovering around $100,000 for their entire programs. They have one coach for both the men and the women. They pay their coaches. They pay everything out of those dollars. The cost of attendance for these kids is considerably higher than other kids. So I think it's a good way to get a double bang for our buck. It gets some really maximizes our image as a cowboy state, and it really helps this great sport. in our state.
I had one other question. I think it was the second part. You said each 20,000 to each institution for the, was it the rodeo that they have to attend or what?
Right.
Explain that, please.
Well, in each region, so in the Central Rocky Mountain region, there are 10 regional rodeos, and that includes the eight rodeos in Wyoming, plus Colorado and Nebraska, some schools down there that are also part of that region. And then, so that's
okay.
The kids that get to go to the national finals are the top five teams, I believe, and top three individuals in each event. So a team is a team of 10, which includes 6 men and 4 women. And the top 3 individuals in, say, saddle bronc riding would get to go to the national finals.
Perfect. Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Co-Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I would offer an amendment. And I thank Representative Wallace for bringing this. The Team Wyoming program really works, and it's a good thing for our state, and it's an incredible following. My amendment, Mr. Chairman, would be to keep in the $20,000 for each college rodeo program. That's $160,000. To reduce the sponsorship of the regional rodeo that they're required to do to zero, take out the $120,000 incentive. I mean, you know, if we start providing money this way through tourism, you know, to for scholarships, I just don't think that's the way you should do that. I mean, they have the college. We just gave them $9 million more. You got the university. They have an athletic program. They can take care of that. But I agree with the sponsor of the high school national finals and also the college national finals. So, Mr. Chairman, if you add that up, the amount is $220,000. And it would be for those two areas. It would be for the $20,000 each for the sponsorship of the regional rodeo. I'm sorry, for the rodeo programs. $20,000 for the rodeo programs, and then the sponsorship of the high school national and the college nationals. So it adds up to $220,000.
Okay. Is there a second?
Okay.
Okay. No second. Is there any further discussion on this motion?
Mr. Chairman,
Representative.
Explain to me, I don't know enough about Team Wyoming and why this would be placed in the tourism board versus in the community college arena or athletic arena with UW. So I just don't understand the connection on how, you know, these rodeos should be monitored or controlled through the tourism. Or is it just a pass-through of funds?
Okay, go ahead, Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Actually, this is a pretty good segue into what I was going to talk about if Senator Bebout had gotten a second, and that is that the way Team Wyoming currently works is that part of what those guys do for the state of Wyoming is Wyoming gets to put Team Wyoming banners all over the place. They get to put patches on their shirts. They wind up, if you watch the performances on TV, you'll see Team Wyoming stickers in the buck and shoots and on the roping arenas and things like that. And plus, each one of those athletes who are part of Team Wyoming have a kind of an obligation to do things like social media, or every time one of those pro guys gets a media interview, they get an incentive for doing that. If they tweet a certain number of times over a certain subject, so the grand champion bronc rider might, for instance, put out tweets saying, hey, I'm going to the Bighorns this weekend, I'm going to go fishing, and, you know, check out Visit Wyoming. And they get incentives for doing those kind of things and really pumping up the whole tourism assets. I'm probably not using the right techie terms here, but it's the best I can do. So the idea here was that one of the objectives of every one of these college teams, as it is for all sports, is to really make sure that these kids are also excelling academically. So the thought was that this coordinator, through tourism, would work with those teams. They'd probably designate a team spokesman, spokesperson. They might do all kinds of fun and innovative things, which college kids are really good at, to figure out how to make the most of this, and that those kids that kind of excel would be able to get the same kind of like incentive things that they're doing for Team Wyoming. And one of the advantages of doing this is through the, it would be difficult to coordinate through all separately through the university and each individual community college. And this just is a program that's already there, already existing, kind of an expansion of it, because the pros, quite honestly, they're only tracking 10, where the challenge here is you're tracking 250 kids, roughly, 270 kids, roughly, statewide. So it's kind of a different animal in that way, but it's already there, it's already built, and a good way to kind of coordinate this, I guess, is what I would say.
Representative Wallace, I had just a question on the incentive piece. I think it was $15,000 to each college for a total of $120,000. And those incentives you mentioned were GPA incentives and also performance incentives combined?
Well, I'm not sure that we want to lock it down too hard. One of the advantages that we have is that when starting to talk about this with the folks, turns out that our rodeo coach here at LCCC is the regional faculty director for the Central Rocky Mountain region. And Dell knows the rodeo coach at Powell happens to be the regional faculty director for the Big Sky region. So those are the guys who would be best suited to work with Diane Schober and her team to really flesh out how this should be structured and what would work the best for both the okay. programs and for tourism and how they could maximize that. So I wouldn't want to designate, you know, hardcore, yes, it's going to be this and this, okay. but I think that was the concept. And the rationale behind 15 students is that that would be kind of a maximum if you've got 10 kids that are going to make the team, and if they, you know, whether that it would give them some flexibility so that they could figure out how that would best be structured.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. I would, and I seconded your amendment, and I'm supported wholeheartedly. I'm just going to make an amendment to reduce that incentive piece, just to remove it, and that's $120,000 for the athletes themselves. And I do that. I just think that rodeo is kind of a different mix between amateur and professional in college, because they can earn money, but they have to pay their own travel, and they've got livestock, and they've got all these expenses that they have to really earn money to offset, or it becomes pretty expensive. Sport, and so I understand that. So most of these kids, all of them that I've known, are very motivated. Many of them are very, very good students. Most are, and so I understand that piece of incentives. But I think they already have incentives in the rodeo piece, and really, I just think us as a state kind of crossing, that's a threshold. I just don't want to cross at this point. Yet until, but I support wholeheartedly the rest of the amendment. So my amendment to you, to the amendment, is to remove the incentive piece. Is there a second? Seconded by Representative Nicholas. Any discussion? I think you probably all understand it. Okay, voting on the amendment to the amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Let's raise our hands, those in favor. One. Okay, that fails. We're at 11 right now, right? So that fails. Okay, thank you. We're back on the amendment now. Is there further amendments to the amendment or discussion? Okay. Don.
Mr. Chairman, I'm to understand this is $560,000 general fund new money, and if this is successful, could I get a copy of your notes?
For the biennium. Biennial amount.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Voting on the amendment. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Nope.
That amendment has been adopted. Okay. Any other amendments? Hey, any other amendments on Unit 0? I guess we've closed that out, haven't we? Don, remind me where I'm at. Have we voted on 0101 already? Okay. Any other amendments on Unit 0101? Okay, the motion is Gov's Rec as amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Then adopted. We're on page 21, Film and Video Promotion, Unit 0102. That has been affected by a previous amendment. Are there further amendments? Motion is Gov's Rec as amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Okay. Motion to close out Department 066. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. We are now on Agency 67, University of Wyoming. Get my technology. I think we are now. I would just say that there might be a lot of amendments for Agency 67 because everybody cares and loves the university. And I think that most of those will probably fall in this base funding, state aid, Unit 6701. So we might. That's the way I see this. Is that unless there's a specific one on, you know, any of that. Or would it be under the 6704 state matching fund? That one. This one right here, 6701 base funding. Okay, so we're on page 37, 6701 base funding. The motion is Gov's Rec. Are there any amendments? Mr. Senator Meyer.
Yeah. I'd like to add $1 million to the library fund. I know that that fund has been struggling to get the certification or the standing that they wanted to have within other universities, and so I want to make sure that we don't forget that effort to support the university library so they can continue to make some progress on their goals over there.
Okay, so that's $1 million for the library fund. Is there a second?
Fine, Mr. Chairman.
No second. Okay. Are there other amendments?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Moniz.
Mr. Chairman, I have a couple.
Okay, go ahead. First one.
The first one is related to rodeo as well. And Don, if you wouldn't mind reading that.
Mr. Chairman, I believe the proposal is that you're referring to would provide $100,000 of general fund appropriation to be expended only for the purpose of providing increased training, support, coaching, and recruitment of rodeo club athletes to UW. And then we would put in standard language that the funds cannot be transferred or expended for any other purpose and that it is a one-time appropriation. The proposal discussed with the sponsor also includes $35,000 shall be distributed to the Wyoming Community College Commission to be further directed to each community college offering a recognized rodeo athletic program for the same purposes of providing training, support, coaching, recruitment of rodeo athletes. Total cost would be $135,000 general fund, $100,000 UW, $35,000 community colleges.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, if I could.
Okay, is there a second? Seconded by Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have visited with the athletic department. There's a lot of interest in rodeo, not only at the University of Wyoming, but throughout the state. As at the present time, rodeo does not fall under the athletic department, where it does a lot in a lot of the junior colleges. But where we're lacking is the training and rehab that a lot of these athletes go through, mainly the Rough Stock Riders. They're kind of on their own when it comes to rehab. This would lend some support in that area. There is interest at the school to do so. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I would...
Okay. Go ahead, Ms. Coates.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, when in basketball, football, track, and those other sports at the university, or like even at the community colleges, if a player individual's hurt, then they're covered by the university. But the rodeo is different. Is that what you're saying? Because it's a club rather than a sport? So when those... And I don't know in Riverton, I can't even answer that question, but is it the case where if you get hurt participating in rodeo, you're on your own? Is that the situation?
Representative Moniz, do you want to answer?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Bebout, under the National Intercollegiate Rodeo Association, they are insured through that association, so they are covered by insurance. Our interest here mainly is just to provide them assistance, training assistance, and in rehab in that area.
Okay. Representative Walsh. Okay, so a question for the sponsor. Rodeo at the University of Wyoming, in contrast to our junior colleges, the junior college, it's in the athletic departments. I know at Casper College, it's with men's basketball, women's basketball, and volleyball. But at the University of Wyoming, it's actually in the Department of Agriculture. How does this amendment affect that, or does it?
This particular amendment does not affect that, but I can see.
Okay.
There may be some question.
Okay. Thank you. I would make a – go ahead. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, another question. You know, at Central, and we've got a really good rodeo program, a good coach, and a bunch of great kids, we provide scholarships. And some of it's raised privately. I think some of it comes through the school. At the university, they do not provide any scholarships for these cowboys and cowgirls. Is that what you're saying?
No, Mr. Chairman, I'm not saying that. Some of those rodeo team members are on scholarship. Very few of them are. But most of them, as our good co-chair stated earlier, are on their own dime as they go out and compete throughout the state. When they compete, most rodeo teams have 15, 20 rodeo members, but each team is only allowed a certain amount of men rodeo members and female rodeo members to compete at each rodeo. That doesn't limit the balance of them to go and compete at them same rodeos. They're just not supported. So they're competing out there basically on their own dime. And all we're trying to do here is offer them a little assistance with rehab and the training facility at the University of Wyoming.
Mr. Chairman?
Okay, Mr. Co-Chair.
You know, it seems to me that why would you not, the university should move them out of the College of Ag and put them in the athletic department. They're athletes, and I mean, these are real athletes, these cowboys and cowgirls, and that's what we do at the community colleges. And my goodness, I mean, the amount of money we spend on basketball and football, I don't know why they don't do that. I guess, and I'm not going to amend this to tell them how to run their business, but that to me, maybe they'll get the message somehow from us by talking about it, that maybe that's what they ought to think about doing.
Mr. Co-Chair, I would like to amend the amendment to have the university report back with the plan on how the rodeo team will be transitioned to the athletic department. We're not. Tell us a plan how it can be done. And so the amendment is not to require it to be done, but bring us back a plan in the next year, working together, showing us how this can be done. There might be rules in the NCAA that we don't know about with prize money, those things that we just simply don't know about, but we'd like to learn why. And I think the good co-chair brought that up. So that's my amendment, that the university will report back with that. Okay, any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Been approved. Okay, back on the amendment. You just go, okay, question being called. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Representative, Mr. Co-Chair, and then I'll be back.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, before Representative Moniz brings up his next amendment, Don, is there any overlap between what we said in Representative Wallace's amendment to the community or the tourism and this one? I don't think there is. I think we're throwing $35,000 more at the colleges in addition to the others, but I guess it'll be a separate amount of money, comes from a separate way for separate purposes, but I don't think there's any conflict. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, if I understand Representative Wallace's amendment, that is primarily for the athletes themselves. And I think Representative Moniz's amendment is for the programs. So I think they can be viewed to work in concert.
Okay. My question then on Representative Moniz is $100,000. So we don't, that amendment does not specify whether it's Department of Ag or the Athletic Department? It does not specify that?
I want to go to the Athletic Department.
Okay, so you want to make that motion? Then it's not specified in that amendment, I don't believe.
I thought we did specify in the amendment.
Mr. Chairman, the language now indicates that the money shall be used for the purposes of providing increased training, support, coaching, and recruitment of rodeo club athletes to UW. It does not specify whether it's the Ag Department or the Athletic Department.
Mr. Chairman, I would like it to go to the Athletic Department.
Okay, so that's an amendment. I'd second that. Any discussion? I think how I understand it, committee members, is that would be used to maybe hire a part-time graduate assistant to aid in strength training, aid in the actual training and rehabilitation in the training room for injuries, those kind of things. That's my understanding, and how to just bring this whole thing into the Wyoming Cowboys with the rest of our athletic program. Okay, any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion's been adopted.
You know,
Mr. Co-Chair.
You know, when you call the Wyoming Cowboys, and yet the Wyoming Cowboys are in the College of Ag, that's just, again, maybe there's a subtle hint out there.
Yeah. I think with that last amendment, it got a little less subtle. Okay, very good. Okay, any other amendments? Representative Moniz.
Mr. Chairman, I do have one more. I would like to do a $5 million matching grant for scholarships, general education scholarships.
Okay, I'll second that for discussion. What's your plan here?
Again, Mr. Chairman, the university probably already has a $5 million in donors lined up. Just waiting for this opportunity. I have a number of constituents who have approached me to do just that. And so with that, Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we do that.
Okay. So my question then, the motion is for academic all academic areas of the university then?
Yes.
So a donor with $100,000 for a scholarship in the engineering department would have that matched, and that would be set aside. Like, that's your plan. And we've done similar programs or in the past. Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Just a question. So if I want to do a $500,000 and I take advantage of the match, I can say wherever I want it to be spent and whatever school, and then the state follows my lead? Are you going to have some requirements that it goes in certain areas? Or if I wanted to do a $500,000 or $5 million and say I want it to be spent on students for the School of the Environment and Natural Resources, that's okay then? And the state would follow wherever I want it to go, or do you want to have some strings on where you want the state portion to go?
Mr. Chairman, actually the school, it would have to run through the school at least and have them, let me back up, you could state where you wanted that to go. But it would be based on the availability of whether that particular curriculum is even viable or if they even teach it. Or, for example, if you wanted to give $500,000 for a scholarship to a student in a program that didn't even exist, or you wanted to encourage them to start a new program, that wouldn't be the case. I think right now through the foundation they have criteria on how they sort that out. Maybe not necessarily on a first come first served basis, but they do have criteria now. I think probably Don would have a better idea on how that works than I do. But maybe you might elaborate on that, Don, if you could, on how it works at the university now.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, I believe in the prior endowments, the statutory language indicates that the areas must be within the university's strategic plan. Now, in truth, this strategic plan is so broad that I think Representative Moniz indicates that as long as it's a program within the university, it would be used. I know the administration has turned down some matching funds for a variety of purposes, insufficient amount to comply with the donor's intent or dipping into areas that they're not currently providing services in. I'll leave it.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman. Well, Mr. Chairman, I like the idea of a matching grant and that part of it, but I, you know, and what individual donors want to do is up to them, but I'm not sure I want the state's money to go in areas that I don't feel is consistent with what I consider to be what Wyoming's all about and what a true land-grant university should be doing. And so I'd have some reservations unless we can come up with some language that dictates, you know, how that would be spent. I could just see it. I just think that it's our money and we ought to have an idea and a feeling where it goes unless people just don't care. And then I guess if that's the situation, then I'm opposed to this.
How about, go ahead. How about Representative Moniz, how about we work together on that language and come back and round robin? I think there's general support for the idea, maybe we need a little more language. Representative Stubson.
Mr. Chairman, I think that'd be a better approach. I mean, we've had lots of discussions about where these monies are held, you know, pending the match. And so I think that would need to be spelled out. You know, are these simply merit-based or are there merit needs-based? I mean, there's lots of details that I think I would need to know to be comfortable in voting for a proposal of this amount.
Okay, Senator Meyer.
And one of those things that I think we need to know is maybe if we are looking at a land-grant scholarship versus colleges that may not be tied to the land-grant arm of the university, maybe a list of colleges that are considered land-grant within the university versus colleges that are considered non-land-grant, that might be a way we may be able to fine-tune it, Mr. Chairman. So if we could get that list, it probably is a relatively easy thing to do.
Okay. Any other discussion? Okay. Representative Moniz. You want to vote on it or you want to withdraw?
Mr. Chairman, if we could get a feeling on this issue based on, if we can do that, based on us collaborating somehow on the wording for this as to how it's funded. I mean, not how it's funded, but where it goes.
Yeah.
I would be up to that.
I'm open to that. I think if we can come back and round robin with a little tighter language, we'll work together, staff and as members, to do that. Okay. So do you want to withdraw your amendment? We'll come back. Okay. And I'm the second. I'm good with that. So, okay, next, any other amendments? Representative Burkhart.
Mr. Chairman, I'd propose monies to the university's Department of Engineering to continue the research we started last budget session on rare earth elements, proposal being that they be allowed to keep the unexpended AML funds that were used the last time, plus $1 million to continue that research. They produced a report which said it's viable to do this research at the university. It has a lot of benefits for the state, makes use of what we can develop in-state, and hopefully what leaves here is a finished product and not raw materials. The report they have is due out shortly, very technical report, but they feel that it's very viable to do this research, and this would be one-time money for the biennium to allow them to continue that research.
Okay. Is there a second? Second that? Okay. Any other discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Co-Chair.
You know, one of the things that I think we do too much of at our university is we do research. And goodness, we have 100, 150 million of grants come in for research. I'm more interested in applied. And, you know, rare earths, I mean, we all know what they are. We all know what they do. We all know where they're utilized. So what kind of research are we going to do It's going to tell us things we don't already know about rare earth. And I think it's a huge opportunity for our state. And I'd be more interested in, if we were going to do some money to rare earth, let's figure out how we can allow people to go out there and look for the mineral itself out on our land and try to put a mine into operation. You know, there's just not a lot of, to me at least, research on rare earths, and I'm trying to put the two together. If you had an applied idea or something, or how to make that mine more productive, or I just don't see the benefits.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Co-Chair, thank you for the questions. We will have a mine in Wyoming here in the near future up in the Black Hills. Currently, all that mine will produce is a concentrated material that at present time will be shipped to China for processing. It leaves the state. I doubt any of it will ever return other than as finished products in wind turbines and some other things. The monies was for applied research, and I wasn't really clear on that, to determine the best way to process that material in Wyoming so that the materials are what leave, not the raw concentrate, which is still kind of a rock material, but a finished metal that can then be used in that. Right now, China processes the majority of the world's rare earth materials, and that lets us keep all of that here in Wyoming from the mine we'll have here. The geologic survey last year found 4 additional deposits in the state, which they feel are viable economically to develop, so hopefully someone will come in and do that. The monies is to continue that research in developing those methods to process it here, to apply what they've learned in the past year, and to do that to.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Co-Chair.
That's a big difference, doing value-added versus research, and so I think you're saying value-added, and that makes a lot more sense. Tell me, how did you come up with $1 million? What's the prognosis? How are the funds to be spent? Who will coordinate it? And, you know, typically the university is all research. And so where are you going to, you know, this is something that I really get worried about, getting lost in the over there in that research thinking area. And have you thought about a better place to put it, to actually oversee it? And then if they need university services, then they would go to them and say, okay, here's what I am. I'm a businessman. I want to do value added, and here's a component I need, university, tell me how, rather than just give them the money and say, do this. How are you going to oversee it, and how did you come up with $1 million?
Mr. Chairman, the $1 million was in discussions with the engineering department that did most of the preliminary work on this. Last time we put it through the School of Energy Resources, and I think that'd be a good way to go with this also, or through the School of Engineering to oversee the money. But it'll be a cross-disciplinary approach that will involve engineering, economics, the physical sciences, and those. So, but last time it went through the School of Energy Resources.
Mr. Chairman,
okay.
I would make a motion to amend the amendment or the motion.
Okay, go ahead.
And the amendment would be to reduce it by $500,000 and require a match. If I get a second, I'll explain that, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this is the way we've done coal research and a lot of other things in the state. We put the money there and require a match from industry. They got skin in the game. I think you get a lot more interest on the applied side rather than research, and I think it would probably make your project better overall if you could do that. And I think it's a great idea to add value to these in our state. So that would be my motion, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any discussion? Don?
Mr. Chairman, just a clarification. Sometimes we indicate whether they should be from non-state funds or private funds, or did you?
Mr. Chairman, non-state funds.
Okay, any discussion? Okay, voting on the amendment to the amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That's been adopted. Back on the original motion now.
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Nichols.
Just so I fully understand what the request is, it's for applied research to add for value-added development and to promote methods to process rare earth materials locally. Is that essentially what we're doing?
Mr. Chairman, correct.
Okay. Any other questions, discussion? Okay, all those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Okay, any other amendments?
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Co-Chair.
Question for Don. And I'm looking at the governor's rec for the engineering college. And we heard testimony from the School of Energy Resources director the other day about a high bay and how $15 million was set up. And high bay, of course, is what we're going to utilize for reservoir, unconventional reservoir design and research and education, and that money had been raised, 15 and 15 match. And then the way I read this, it's confusing to me how this fits in with what we've already done. It says he's recommending 10 point, maybe it's a question for Brett, $10.5 million in one-time fund for equipment and work. So are we talking about the shell is there, and this is the FF&Es, FF&Rs, whatever it is? What goes into the lab, is that what we're talking about here? Has nothing to do with the facility itself, is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Co-Chair, I don't know that I've got a good answer for you that on that particular question. I do note that Mr. Boswell is here, and he might be able to provide a little bit more insight into the specific application of these dollars.
I guess, Chris, have at it if you're here and you know the answer. Is that okay, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
Please. Mr. Chairman, I'd also draw your attention to the response that the university sent. I believe it was forwarded yesterday. Think of the $15 million that was appropriated last time. In the university's reports back to the legislature, we've described the matching effort for those that original $15 million, which was appropriated, I believe, in FY13. We're in the last stages of matching that $15 million that we have commitments for all $15 million in matching. I'd ask you, in a fashion, to set that $15 million aside. What you see in the governor's recommendations, which total $15.5 million, as a second. And in terms of $15.5 million, you'll remember that $5 million is for matching funds for the endowed chair in petroleum engineering. So that's $5 million out of that 15.5. The other $10.5 million is what I would describe as for equipment and related research work within the high bay, again requiring the match. The bricks and mortar component of the high bay is going to cost roughly $24.5 million. Those funds essentially have been raised. They're in place. What you're going to wind up with, if you have the state's first $15 million that will be matched, plus what is proposed as this additional $10.5 million to be matched, that's a total of $51 million going towards the high bay. And 24.5 going to bricks and mortar, the balance, $26 million and change, going for related research within the building, equipment and setting up the remainder of the building. Some of these funds, that you see in terms of private sector matches did apply towards the bricks and mortar component of it. Other of the private sector matches went to specific research equipment capability. So, Mr. Chairman and Mr. Co-Chairman, two separate pots totaling about $51 million, half of which to be raised privately.
Mr. Chairman, while Chris is up there, may I ask another question?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Where the university matches with internal resources, we're not taking our money, it's going to the university, and turn around and matching with our own funds we've given to the university, correct?
Mr. Chairman, you are correct. Where you see discussions in particular about the Tier 1 initiative and where we talk about the request that was made for $8 million in general funds to go to the university towards the engineering programs, and we talk about internal resources of approximately $9 million, if that's the area you're describing, Mr. Chairman, we are now I've lost track of your question, Mr. Chairman.
The internal resources of the $9 million, what, I guess the better question is, what are those?
Mr. Chairman, that's broken down the earlier responses, but those include things like funding that has gone to the School of Energy Resources for prospective hires of prospective faculty members, and some of that funding is being directed into the Sirloin effort.
So, Mr. Chairman, your previous answer is not totally correct, and part of the internal resources funding the university is coming up with is money that we have appropriated previously to the university for other areas, and they're redirecting it. So the match is coming from our own money in some ways.
Mr. Chairman,
through the School of Energy Resources. Sir.
No, Mr. Chairman, respectfully, I don't agree with the way you've just described it.
Okay, tell me why it's different.
One is relating to the high bay, kind of bricks and mortar of the high bay, related matches to the high bay. The second is the Tier 1 engineering proposal, which is a second pot of money, if you will, Mr. Chairman. So there are internal resources going to the Tier 1 engineering proposal. There are not internal resources being redirected to the high bay.
Mr. Chairman, I understand that, but you just said on the internal resources directed to the college, some of those come from the School of Energy Resources and are redirected to that Tier 1. And the School of Energy Resources is funded totally by general fund unless it came from donations that you're redirecting. That's my point.
Mr. Chairman, I would again note the difference between the governor's recommendation for the $10.5 million, which does not involve any redirection of internal resources, but you're correct. The governor's recommendation of $8 million in general funds and the university's proposal for $9 million of internal funds, you are correct. That is a redirection.
That's my question. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
I don't have any amendments.
Okay. I've got a few, actually. Some of them are real tiny, if the committee will bear with me on this. Really, the... Mr. Chairman, some don't cost any money, some have some. But the first one I have here is really just an attempt to kind of incentivize donations within our athletic department. And Cowboy Joe raises $3 million a year. And so the proposal is to go ahead and set aside then a line item in the budget that can be matched for on a 1-2 qualifying donation. And so the idea is to incentivize those amounts. And I want to do this on a, Don, I'm reading the amount. I think the amount that I'm, they raise $3 million a year, $6 million a biennium. And I'd like to try to incentivize those on a 1-2 grant. And so the amount that I have is a $4 million grant, two in each year. And so if you donated $100 to Cowboy Joe, your donation would be actually worth $150 with the state match. And so we'd try to move those Cowboy Joe funds up to $4 million. If they could raise up to $4 million a year, they'd receive the full $2 million match. And on a year-by-year basis. And these funds could only be used for students, for recruitment, retention, training, summer school, those kind of things, not for any salaries. And so that's my motion on that, to try to take this to the next, really to help the University of Wyoming to kind of increase their donations and to really kind of give a boost to our athletic program. And let's face it, I mean, it's the front porch of the university. And... So that's my amendment. Is there a second? There is a second. Any discussion, questions?
Mr. Chairman, a question. You know, the Cowboy Joe is how we used to pay for the severance package for the previous football coach and how we pay salaries. So are you saying that this component would, I mean, it's just kind of apples and oranges because they can take all their money and now still do salaries, but you're trying to, how are you going to differentiate? That's my question, because it turns into one pot of money. I think I like the intent, but, you know, if you do this and it all goes some way to pay a football coach $3 million instead of $700,000, I'm not sure that that's a good use of our state funds.
Right. Mr. Chairman, and I think to answer that, some of those are foundation, other foundation-type funds, too, that are used in some of those salaries. I think some have been Cowboy Joe funds. These specifically, these matching dollars would be for none of the adults. I mean, and I understand your concern, but I think it says specifically in this language. I suppose you could. I mean,
work some kind of shell game to do that. But the language is really for these donations and these matches are to be used for the student athletes.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Perkins.
Question. So is the restriction on all the funds that are raised, the Cowboy Joe's funds and the matching funds, or is the restriction only on the matching funds? And I guess the concern would be if restricting all those funds, I mean, it seems like you're hamstringing some of the things that they already do with the funds that they raise privately.
Senator Perkins, it has to be just the matching funds. Really, that's our reach. I mean, that's the program, and it's really trying to incentivize donors, and if we can do that, we can add a little bit to the overall fundraising effort as well. Okay, any other questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Having participated in being involved in those athletic scholarships at the university, I really like this idea. I'm just thinking about the functionality of it and how it might work, and have you given some thought to maybe not such a large amount or set aside to do so much the first year and let's see how this all fits, and then if working, we could have it set aside to use the second year, or you think they're ready to go and you feel comfortable? I mean, this is a lot of money, and I've never talked to anybody other than you about this. Have you talked to people with Cowboy Joe and the coaches?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I actually have talked, of course, to the athletic director and Cowboy Joe. The way this amendment is set up is that half would be available the first year. So if you raised $8 million the first year, it wouldn't all be spent in the first year. So the maximum match raise amount would be $4 million, and then we'd evaluate it for the second year. So it isn't a two-year equal portions.
What's the amount again, Mr. Chairman?
The total is $4 million, $2 million per year. $4 million for the biennium.
Mr. Chairman, we're splitting hairs, but I guess I would say I would move that we do a million each year instead of $2 million.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been seconded. Any other discussion? Okay, all those in favor of the amendment to the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
And that's been adopted. Back on the original motion.
Question.
Okay, question being called. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, that's been adopted. The next amendment I have, members, is, and I've spoken with the co-chair about this, but how do we really incentivize University of Wyoming, particularly the Laramie campus, to grow? And, you know, we've talked about this. In 2012, it was 10,500 students on the Laramie campus. In 1988, it was 10,400 students. In 1969, it was 8,900. So it's been pretty static for a number of years. There's been some fluctuations, but it's been in that 9,000 to 10,000 range. And so part of that's retention. I mean, we have a pretty low retention rate at 74%. I got another amendment to address that, but I wanted to work through some incentives. And this amendment talks about Wyoming's University of Wyoming Laramie campus. If we can grow from this 10,500 to 11,000 students by the end of the fall of 2014, it'd be a 2,500,000 to their block grant. So it's an incentive to the entire system to try to get more students on the Laramie campus. And if you get to that threshold of 11,000, it's 2,500,000. Now, the second year of the biennium, if the Laramie campus can grow to 11,333 students, then there's another 2,500,000 that can go to their block grant. And so that's my proposal. Just to the total amount would be $5 million, and if they can grow the size of the Laramie campus. And I just think it's an incentive to get all folks invested in the game, not just the top administrators, but really everybody on that campus. Chairman, is there a second?
I'll second.
Second.
Mr. Chairman, what were the parameters and measurements that you were going to request?
In the first year of the biennium, Mr. Chairman, that the university would grow really by some 500 students on the Laramie campus to 11,000. And the second one was to grow to another 333.
Mr. Chairman, I got an idea on how to do that. And we're running out of general funds. and I'll float this, and maybe it's a bad idea, is I would amend that to say we keep the original $5 million as incentive. We provide $2.5 million, and $2.5 million of that comes from the university's block grant from us. They don't perform, they lose it.
Is there a second? Okay, so maybe so let's talk about the appropriation then in this amendment. It's $2.5 million from this amendment, and
a reduction of $2.5 million if they don't perform, Mr. Chairman.
If they don't reach it. That's interesting. Okay, it's been, any other discussion?
Mr. Okay. Chairman, it's my understanding that these are campus-based students, so they have to be on campus and full-time regular students, correct?
That's correct. These are full-time students at the Laramie campus.
And, Mr. Chairman, just to explain that a little bit, I'm not being flippant. I mean, I really, you know, it's always when we have state government and other people's money, it's always easy to throw money out there over and above what they're already getting. And I get so discouraged. When, you know, if you're really going to incentivize, part of it is if you don't, you're going to lose some. I mean, there's I think, a little more incentive there than if you leave it at the $5
million. Okay. Don?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Co-Chairman, just so I understand the mechanics of this, in the first year and they met their goal, it would be a $1.25 million. If they missed their goal, it would be a deduct from the contingent appropriation in state aid. Second year, same thing.
Okay, Senator Meyer.
You know, I think if we're doing that, rather than 500 and 333, we just say 400 and 400. You know, that makes a little more sense to me that you even up the ADM penalty and the ADM incentive. But it's your call, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, any other discussion, comments? Okay, there's an amendment to the amendment. Is that correct? That's where we're at. Okay, voting on the amendment to the amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Show of hands, all those in favor, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, that's the magic number. Okay, so that's been adopted. Now on the original, back to the amendment. All those in favor, any other discussion? Senator Meyer?
I'll go ahead and make the motion to even up that ADM to 400 and 400 rather than 500 and 333, I think is what you were.
Okay, it's been motion and second. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Okay, now we're on the original motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, it's been adopted. Okay, not sure the university is going to want me to run any more amendments. Okay, I think. Okay, that's. Okay, here's another amendment kind of in that same, and you have to stick with me on this a little bit. Basically, here's what the plan was, is we have a 74% retention rate. University of Wyoming, and they recognize it and want to move it. So the first benchmark, Colorado State, I think, is around 85. Our first benchmark would really be that 80% by the end of the biennium. And so the amendment is that if we can increase our current retention rate by the end of this biennium, that we would set aside an amount, $2,670,000, that would be used for merit pay at the university. So if that retention, this is an incentive piece, again, and I think everybody's involved in retaining students. And we all remember as a young person when that elder, that person, a mentor who said some encouraging word to us at some point probably changed the course of where we were at. And I think it's got to promote that to get to the next level. So it's, again, reflecting the Laramie campus, an improvement to 80% by the end of the biennium. It would result in a $2,670,000 appropriation for merit-based pay raises. That's my motion. Is there a second? Second. Discussion.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I would speak against that amendment. we're going to talk about some salary increases coming up. And also, I think if you look at the university's strategic plan, I think that that's part of what they do. That's part of what the Board of Trustees' obligation is, and the professors. And I wonder how this merit pay would get down to a professor. I mean, I would think that the overall attitude of the university would be something that this is done and promoted anyway. And I really believe in incentive, but I wondered about the merits of it. I guess at this time I'm not convinced, and I would be opposed to it.
Okay. Any other comment? Representative Stubbs.
Mr. Chairman, just, I mean, retention can be measured in all sorts of different ways and among all, and I'm just wondering, are you looking at retention among, over the biennium, among all classes year to year? I mean, typically they show us freshman retention. I don't know how.
The way the amendment, and I appreciate the question, Representative Stubbs, and the amendment really is from the incoming freshman through that sophomore year. That's how I believe it's measured. And so it's not all class. So it's their standard retention rate that is measured universally, really, among all colleges as a comparator. And so that's the rate.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative
Just a quick question for clarification. Do we have any idea why the retention rate is so low?
You know, I can't answer that. Does anybody have any answer to that?
Okay. I do, but I won't mention it.
Okay.
I got some ideas.
Well, we probably all have ideas, but I think a big part of that deal is it's a tough balance because our admission standards, you could easily raise the retention rate by raising admission standards. That's not really the mission of our land-grant institution. Okay, any other discussion on this? Okay. All those in favor, say aye. Aye. Opposed?
No.
Well, that's been defeated. Okay, let's take a little break. Should we actually, do you have a, you, I'm going to. We're going to take a break for about 5-6 minutes.
Okay, we're back live again. Just members, and if you'd indulge me on Agency 67, I just have a couple other little amendments. This first one is just they are real tiny. The first one is just a report to the JEC and the JAC on the potential reconstruction of Crane Hall, Downey Hall, Hill, McIntyre, Orr, and Whitehall collectively or separately. And report include cost estimates, potential timing, and options for financing and reconstruction. Bottom line is these are a huge part of the university, this whole student services piece. It's all run on an enterprise fund. If you travel around and look at any college, let alone a university of the status, the University of Wyoming, we got a lot of work to do. And so we got to find out the magnitude of it. And if you've ever spent any time or had kids that you paid for to rent in those dorms, we can do better. And so we want to, and it's all going to start with some kind of plan. And so that's what this is. There's no funding attached to it. Is there a second? Okay. Any discussion?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I appreciate what you're doing. You know, but shouldn't they be doing this anyway? I mean, the Board of Trustees looking at making these kind of decisions. And what I think will happen with this is if we initiate it, they'll come back with the needs. It'll be there, and then they'll say the price tag is X amount of money and look to us to fund it. That's what I worry about.
Mr. Co-Chair, I appreciate your concerns. I think the legislature has set all kinds of priorities at the University of Wyoming, whether it's engineering college or school energy resources or what have you. So that's what we do, whether it's the AA or all those kind of things. Those have been our initiatives. I'd like to at least find out the magnitude of this issue. And really, and maybe it's a lot of colleges, I think, are going to private stuff. But I agree. But many of these legislative initiatives are things that we care about and our constituents care about. Representative Wallace?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple of thoughts come to my mind, and one of them is that does this include sort of a consideration? We've had a lot of discussions about that King Street situation, and so the whole surrounding area and making that a more livable piece of,
yeah,
you know, a sort of a holistic, comprehensive vision for students. And then secondly, would this allow for, maybe I'd offer an amendment to ask for information about how other comparable universities handle this, whether it's through some kind of private arrangement or whether it's through subsidies to allow those much nicer accommodations to be affordable,
mm-hmm,
and to allow and to keep student total costs down, and kind of get an idea of the competing institutions.
Okay, so, hey, any other discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, Representative Moniz.
In response to Representative Wallace's question, wouldn't they do that already with your original amendment? I'm thinking.
Well, it talks about potential timing and options. So I would hope so, yeah. I think that's the intent. Okay, any other comments or questions, discussion? Representative Wallace.
Actually, Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure your original amendment does, because I think it just basically speaks to the cost of the construction or remodeling,
okay,
correct?
So you want to amend the
amendment? So I would like to amend that to also include options in terms of ongoing operations, or however you would word that, so that we get a sense of what might be done in order to make them not, you know, totally enterprise supported and putting all that cost on the students and their parents.
Okay, I'll second that. Is there any? You got that, Don? Okay. Any discussion on the amendment to the amendment? Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, back on the amendment. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nope.
Okay, it's been adopted. Okay, members, the next amendment is just a requiring a report to the JEC and the JAC on any fiscal, legal, policy implications of granting reduced tuition status to neighboring states, University of Wyoming. And some of our community colleges already do this, and just want to kind of find out the status of that.
I'll second
I know we
that.
Have Witchy and Wooey. Okay, we have a second. Any other discussion? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Okay, members, the last amendment I have on Agency 67 is really an issue that that I've learned about really through experience with this, and how you get kids on a college campus to experience that. And we have programs that get a few programs, but here's what's basically happened at our colleges and the University of Wyoming, that the room and board enterprises don't allow them to really run camps where Wyoming kids can experience a college campus in the summer. For example, in my situation, we'll take over 100 young kids, and we now take them out of state, which is well over $25,000 in their money as invested in some other institution out of state, because that opportunity is not available at the University of Wyoming. And the reason it's not is simply they can't compete because of the charges and with their enterprise accounts and the room and board piece of it. And so my amendment is to provide $100,000 to the university, $10,000 to each of the colleges, and I'll read this to you. Expended for the purpose of reducing amounts charged for university or college room and board services to Wyoming high school students attending athletic or other extracurricular camps and events held in the summertime. So these and the whole idea is to afford these kids the opportunity to be part of a university campus. And it can't be spent for anything else. I won't read all the narrative, but that's the idea, is to really, if we're going to kind of grow this whole system, part of it is kids experiencing the system. And we just don't have those opportunities. The Shrine Bowl, for example, used to stay at Casper College, eat in Casper College, used to stay at the university. Now they stay at a hotel in Casper. It's just, we've kind of done this to ourselves. And maybe some of you benefited from some of those programs when you're a kid, but so that's my amendment. Is there a second for it? It's been seconded. Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Co-Chair.
And you know, having participated years ago in some of those where the university did provide that, and I don't know why I wasn't realizing they weren't doing it now, but why would you want to? I mean, they already have the physical plant there, they got the people there, and you say they're charging us so much more. Why don't they just be reasonable and understand their role as a land-grant college for the whole state, includes the whole state, and they do it with what they have? Why do we need to give more money to do what they ought to already be doing? I don't understand that. I mean, sure, they'll take the money, but why don't they just step up and say this is part of what we're supposed to be doing and do what they used to do?
I don't have the answer to that. I mean, it's run on an enterprise account, and they have to charge so much. That's my answer. Okay, Representative Wallace.
Mr. Chairman, do we know whether that requirement to be run as an enterprise account is statutory, or is that a Board of Trustees policy?
I don't know that. Does anybody know that answer? Sorry.
Mr. Chairman, I really like your idea. Maybe, you know, maybe there's a way, maybe you don't want to do it, and maybe vote it up or down with the money, but certainly this is something they ought to do. And maybe we see how the money goes, and if that passes, then I guess it's going to happen that way. If not, maybe there's a better way to just say, hey, you know, tell us why you're not doing it. I don't know why they're not. Other than the enterprise fund, they've got to control their enterprise fund. We're not doing that statutorily. You know, why don't they do that? I mean, I don't understand.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Moniz.
Could we ask Chris if he has any response to why they can't do that now?
Chris. The Dave Groover rule, you attended a meeting you weren't necessarily invited to, so sometimes you have to speak.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Co-Chairman, I can assure you that when I used to sit downstairs, I made the same point to many agency directors and many staffers on the governor's staff. which is to, if you're planning on being in a committee meeting, you'd better be prepared to present the governor's point of view on anything under the sun. Mr. Chairman, given that, I don't believe it's a statutory requirement that these funds are separate. I think that is something that is done by university policy. I think there's a continuing stress on the Section 2 budget in terms of trying to keep costs low. You see the same thing at community colleges where you do what you can to try to keep the costs low while at the same time trying to meet these demands. Short answer, Mr. Co-Chairman, is I don't know why the costs are where they are and how much leeway the university might have to reduce those costs for certain participants. I mean, you look at something like the use of the indoor practice facility. The university does a lot to keep those costs very low, and it gets a ton of use in Laramie. That's a separate discussion, I recognize, Mr. Co-Chairman. But there are a number of instances where the university and in particular athletics and student affairs do what they can to keep the costs low. But in terms of guaranteeing a cost that is low enough that it could attract, again, these events, I really can't answer that at this point, Mr. Chairman.
Okay,
Chairman.
Ms. Co-Chair.
Well, Chris is up there following the rule, never show up because all the questions come. You know, I believe they own that really incredible facility up by Du Bois out there at the, I forget the lake it's by, and they used to do science camps and do a lot of things up there. Is that being utilized at all by the university? They may have given that to Game and Fish. I don't even remember for sure, but if they, Trail Lake is what it is. Is that something the university still owns, I guess? And if you don't know the answer, maybe I'd just be curious sometime you could tell me. And if it's still owned, then that's a wonderful facility for summer programs and stuff they used to do all the time. And if it is owned by the university, are you still utilizing it? And if they're not, what are we doing with it?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Co-Chair, I'd be happy to get you that answer. I don't have it at this moment.
Okay. Any other questions? Discussion? Okay. Question on the amendment. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No. Nope.
Okay, that amendment's been adopted. Are there other amendments on Agency 67?
Well, Mr. Chair, are we going to go through the different units? Yeah, because I've got some on some other units.
Yeah, let me get my right program up here. Okay, it is noon. We have a couple members who have meetings from noon to 1 today. And we are still on Unit 6701 base funding. And we've amended it multiple times. And so when we come back for lunch, maybe we'll have a quick review of where we're at on that. And any other, we'll move on with amendments and finish Agency 67. So we will start back at 1 o'clock sharp. Okay? Thank you.